Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
If not for the courage of the fearless Fred, the broadcast would be tossed. The broadcast would be tossed. The show's alive and it can be heard on Patriots.com with Brett Kirsch and Big Head 2. The balding one and his paunch. Scalavino, Tacoma, and Dr. D. BFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I like that opening. That's a nice one. Who did that one again, Doc? Do you remember?
Treehugger.
Treehugger did that. That was a good opening. All right, welcome to PFW in Progress again. I come bearing my apologies for not being here Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm just glad that you guys are here. I didn't want to do any more shows. I'm saying any more solo shows.
I got one email from, I think, Millie in Montreal, who... just ripping apart.
Absolutely.
Scalabino.
Unexcused.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was a shot at me.
Yeah. So we'll get to the emails a little bit. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Specifically, what was he ripping Eric about?
Oh, wait till I read
it. Do you need specifics?
I want to wait till he gets here.
It was actually a pretty nondescript show. It was kind of a dull show because we didn't have the humor of, you know, wasn't
he really
in the house.
Feels that he left you hanging.
Well. In terms of knowledge, I mean,
508-543-7482 is the phone number. 508-543-7482.
Hey, Fred.
Yeah.
After you open the show, I'd like to ask the listeners a question about something that I came back with from the NFL meetings.
Oh, that's a good drop in that he was at the NFL.
Was this
meetings.
When you were talking to Raj?
No, this was the day before.
Well, why don't you go? Why don't we?
Where were they?
New York City.
Good job by them.
There is a. There's another team that does a one-hour video show, which is a call-in show. So it's essentially putting radio on video. And I know our listeners have asked for it, and myself and a couple of the other people who went with us said that we think it's time that we take PFW in Progress to video and make it available as a video podcast. So I'd want to know if, A, the listeners would download it if we do that, and... what do you guys think?
The problem is a two-hour video show is a lot bigger file than a two-hour audio show. So you're really asking them to
right.
download a huge file.
And what's the benefit for them or us?
I'm not
unless
sure.
you're going to
you know
edit
it,
it and put video in and it, like highlights or something,
and
like,
I think
why do they want to watch us eat?
I'll give an example. Mike and Mike in the Morning, okay, the ESPN show, they're on TV too. But, you know, during... while they're talking at times, they throw in B-roll, they put up, you know, they're using the screen of the TV to do other things than just to see that the two of them sit there.
Plus, it allows them to be seen and heard on a different device. For us, our listeners are going to listen on their iPod. Whether they're listening and watching, or it's the same device, it doesn't open up more opportunity for them to get us. And I don't see how it benefits us. I think there's more work, more file, more
right.
storage, more everything. For nothing. And I don't think people want to see this. Right now we have a messy desk with Paul eating a sub, you eating a pizza, me eating a calzone. There's a couple soda bottles. There's crap
right.
everywhere.
Right.
This isn't a show.
I think once
it's
in
a great
while,
radio show.
I think once in a while, though, maybe monthly or...
sure.
We should do like a some type of special that's video.
Sure.
Yeah, the idea came about. We were talking about possibly doing
who's
a video.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I want to know who these people you're talking to because I'm worried about this.
No Socks and Mondello.
So the same people that are always here. Just, you weren't talking to people outside the organization?
No, it was just us based on this presentation that we saw. We go, well, why aren't we doing that?
All of a sudden, No Sox thinks we're viable content? I thought we were just, like, trash.
Yeah. He didn't like us. Yeah. Now he wants a piece.
Yeah.
As the numbers grow each and every month, he wants to hitch his wagon to us.
Well, you know what happened. He got the invite.
Right.
Much like everybody else who normally hates us without talking to us.
Right.
It's like when listeners talk to us, they realize, you know what, those guys are kind of
like
funny.
When I talk to the listeners at, like, the bars, and they come in wanting to strangle me, and he's not that bad a guy when you talk to him.
Well,
you
know, we also have a velvet rope in between you and them.
You know, we had No Sox come down. He took part in the show. He really enjoyed it. He was talking about it for, like, several days after that.
Well, I mean, he spent all his time with B-Lo. To move up to us, it's obvious he would enjoy it.
Touché.
So anyway, what do you think, Doc? That's our thoughts on video. I mean, obviously, we've got two robotic cameras right here. It wouldn't be hard to do that, but at the end of the day, and you've seen
no
us
reason.
Once, where's the value at?
Well, we agree
for the
that,
fans.
We agree that there would need to be some added production value to it from a video side.
Of course.
And adding in the B-roll or you know.
Who does that, and how do we make money off it?
Slates on the screen for phone callers. I mean, it could all be sponsorable aside from what we do in the show.
Yeah, but right here is sponsorable. We need to get more sponsors on this.
I agree. I mean,
other than
AA
and the
numbers.
Stupid commercial about the phone and the guy brings it with him and it only works at home.
Nothing wrong with AA. You know.
I mean,
for drunks, it's great.
No, American Airlines. I'm not talking about your AA.
But, yeah, I agree with you, Fred, that I would do it maybe once a month or, you know, I had suggested that maybe the draft shows become the first foray into video, but doing it not down here,
but
it
again,
just becomes a logistical nightmare.
We're, like, looking down at notes. We're watching the TV. What are we doing?
Eating.
Yeah.
Picking my nose.
Unless
farting.
Unless you had a board there, and every time we mentioned a guy's name, you could pull up his B-roll. You know.
It wouldn't be live. It would be – the video would be posted after the fact. So the live consumption would still be as it is right now, but – after, so we could take the time to produce it and make it look pretty, then you would offer the video.
Maybe you do a best of at the end of each week. I don't know. It's radio.
We're good radio. We're bad TV.
This is what this is. It's radio. If you want video, you got Patriots Today. You got All Access. You got all the other video that we post on Patriots.com.
But if you could have seen the look of shock on people's faces when I said we do original internet radio content 5 days a week. We stream 24/7. And the numbers that we get for these downloads are ridiculous.
A little bit. Million.
Did you kill DeLilly a little bit?
Seven figures.
But,
yeah, that's good.
You know, people are looking at us going.
Wants to know.
You know, you guys do this.
Now, the other team that does the video, is that the Eagles?
I'm Roger Goodell.
It was actually Kansas City.
Kansas City? Yeah. They all followed us. We were the first. But, you know, does Pioli get on that show?
They actually said that Scott does call in from time to time and participate in the
I'm
show.
I'm not shocked by that at all.
No. To chew him out.
Like, I'm surprised he never called PFW in progress.
Oh, no. I'm sure he wanted to.
Called us off air.
It must have been the guy who gave Brian Morey the bird a couple years ago, right?
Probably. You all right, Andy?
You all right there?
Piece of chicken went down the wrong pipe.
Oh, okay.
This right here be good TV.
It comes and goes.
All right, let's get to some Patriots talk, shall we? Kevin Falk talked today.
Kevin
That's where
Falk
Eric is.
And Marcus Morrell, I believe, will be speaking.
So
today.
Eric will be back with a full update on that soon. Yeah.
Yeah. A little odd in that Kevin Falk just talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
What did you think about this signing, the Damian Lewis signing?
Eh.
Eh? You're not excited?
No.
No?
That was just, a bust as a first-round pick.
He's
had a nice, decent little career, but what is he? He's
actually,
a committee defensive lineman.
It's a very –
Is
and
he
I don't,
an upgrade from Jarvis Green?
No.
Really?
No.
No.
He's never played in the 3-4.
He's never played in the 3-4. That's an issue. Now, the question is, maybe they're not going to play 3-4 a lot or at all, or who knows. And maybe that's why they're signing guys like him. I don't know.
Now, and we talked about that on Tuesday, in one of the rare times that Eric actually contributed to the show. There is a possibility that with a guy like that, there's another piece that would fit better maybe in a four-man front. So maybe they are deciding to change schemes or change some of their principles or whatnot. But Damian Lewis, to me, is a typical Belichick signing. And I don't mean that to be negative because a lot of those quote-unquote typical Belichick signings have really worked out. You know, guys like Anthony Pleasant and Bobby Hamilton and Rick Lyle, you know, going back a few years. But what I mean by that is a guy who had some credentials at one stage in his career never really lived up to those credentials. But at this stage, at short money, which I believe it's like $1.2 million or something like that, it's not huge money. It's not minimum, but it's not huge money. Not a lot of risk involved. By all accounts, a good guy in the locker room, much like those guys that I mentioned. It's a chance to have a guy contribute without having to worry about, geez, he was a first-round pick. He never lived up. I think he was like the 12th pick of the draft one year. He never lived up to that. Well, the Patriots aren't asking him to be that. They're asking him to be a piece of the puzzle as a backup. And for that, he may work out.
Which is the one reason I like it, because I told you last week when we were talking about Odrick and all these potential first-round picks, I don't want to go that route for that value. I'd want to fill in. You've decided Wilfork and Warren are your guys. Fill in around him. This is the type of signing I was talking about, to fill in with a veteran jag, just a guy, and get by with that and get elite talent at other areas.
Yeah, now there have been times that Bill has tried that and it hasn't worked. I want to be fair. You know, I mentioned two or three guys that really panned out for the Patriots.
Good TV right here.
You know, back in the earlier part of the decade. Well, he tried to do it with Jonathan Sullivan when he traded Bethel Johnson for Jonathan Sullivan. First round bust. So the talent was obviously there. Something was there that got him drafted.
Yeah.
But it never worked out, and it didn't work out here either. He showed nothing but just an incredible size of his stomach, because the guy who's the fattest player I've ever seen.
Right.
So sometimes they don't work out, but I understand what the theory is that Bill has. This talent that obviously got him into the league at a certain level, for whatever reason, it didn't really work out to that level, but maybe at this level, he's worth it. So it's not a bad signing by any stretch. I just don't think it's a difference-making kind of signing.
All right, we were talking, I guess, was it yesterday? I'm not sure. About what you mentioned before.
The 4-3 stuff.
Is there a chance that the Patriots would be going to a 4-3? And if that's the case, do you
throw your hat in the ring?
Throw your hat in the ring for Albert Haynesworth?
Well, I would throw my hat in the ring either way.
Well, not if he refuses to play.
Well, I would play him at defensive end. I think defensive end
good
enough.
Why wouldn't Shanahan play him at defensive end?
I don't know. I don't think Shanahan wants him. I think Shanahan is trying to run him out of town, personally, for whatever reason.
But I think that he wants to play nose tackle. And that's why he knows Haynesworth doesn't want to do it. Now, listen, I don't know enough about these guys' individual skill sets. I don't think he could play end that effectively. I'm not sure that that's something that he would be able to do. But even if he did, I would rather see him, if you're going to acquire him, I'd rather see them go to a 4-3 and have him and Wilfork be your tackles.
Well, that's
that would be the more dangerous.
Right.
I know Haynesworth can rip it up at that spot.
Right. And I'm pretty sure that given the chance, Wilfork could too.
Oh, I'm 99%.
Oh, if you put Wilfork in a one-gap system and allowed him to penetrate, I think
there wouldn't be as much pressure on him to keep weight on. You know, it wouldn't be that.
Yeah. That's why he puts weight on.
You think he tries to stay fat?
No, but I think at nose tackle you have to be a certain weight. You can't.
Yeah, and he has to get down to it every year.
Well, but you know, I just think that you do have to maintain at least 330 pounds as a nose tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
luckily when he comes in at 360, he works his way down to 330.
Just going to let you know, he's not going to be suddenly playing end at 310.
No, but I have him inside with Haynesworth. You have Warwick on one side, and the other side, you know, you can have anybody at
Peter?
That point. You know, you can
he
have
said Warwick.
Warren.
Oh.
Warren.
I thought he said Warren, too.
I'm sure it was Warwick.
Well, anyway, Fred and I threw that around a little bit yesterday, the whole Haynesworth situation and whether or not that'd be worth. You know, worth. I mean, according to a lot of reports, the guaranteed money now is down to $9 million. It's 3 years and $16 million, basically, is what the contract has left, and nine of that is guaranteed. That's peanuts. And I read something from Jim Wyatt today. I always go back to my buddy Jim Wyatt because he's one of the most underrated beat guys out there. He thinks Tennessee's going to be all over this to get him back.
Why wouldn't they? I don't know why any team would. I think every team in the NFL should at least consider it.
The guy's a player.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a force when he's...
He does have some attitude issues.
Yeah.
And we saw some of those in Tennessee, and we saw more of them last year. Yeah. He had problems at practice late in the year. He was sent home, remember, a couple of times late in the year. He was sent out. Jim Zorn sent him home.
Wow. I think that situation was almost Oakland-like. I give guys passes. Right. For, I think it's a circus. But what better way to
it happened in Tennessee,
a guy
too,
wrong?
With Jeff Fisher.
What better way? Well, there's no question he's not a great guy.
That's the only reason why I don't.
What
just
better
give him
way
a pass
to prove a guy wrong than they have to pay you and you go elsewhere and go back to your defensive player of the year status?
Yeah.
What better way
can
to flip
imagine
a bird?
$21 million Daniel Snyder just gave him.
Wow.
The end of March. $21 million. They can't get that back.
Mm.
They can't. I mean, I know that they're talking about it now, but already some of the draft, like the cap experts, one of I was reading on Florio, Andrew Brandt, who used to be with the Packers, I think.
Yeah.
He was saying how you can't do that. He can't just give his money back, or he can't have another team. The Redskins can't have another team pay that money to them.
Right. Well, the only way they'd get it back is if
he gives it back to them willingly, and then somehow you work it out that the other team gives.
Oh, no, I was just thinking is if this really comes to butting heads
and he just wants out.
Conduct detrimental to a team, right. Suspension.
Teams, guys have paid their way
signing
out.
Money.
Right. Yeah.
He could pay his way out of town.
Right.
Yeah. That could happen. But in terms of that being part of a deal, you're going to run into the Andy Hart sniff test, and it's probably not going to pass.
By the way, Chris Ferreira says, as an FYI, the size of a two-hour video podcast would be 500 megs. Our audio podcasts are 53 megs, and users complain about the download time for that.
Would the show be 10 times as good? No.
Maybe what we could do is something what you said, Freddie.
You could do the live show's video, but what is available for download is just audio. I don't know.
But why? That's still that'd be eating up space and bandwidth and stuff, right?
I think that your example of maybe something on Fridays being available, maybe a half-hour snippet,
yeah,
a video of some of the stuff that we said during the course of the week, if we wanted that. Because you have to have post-production value. Like Mike and Mike that you brought up, and they say how they have all that stuff on the screen, that's not live. They don't air that live.
Right.
That goes on TV on ESPN2. After that's already taken place on the air.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So that would have to be the situation that you'd have to do something post-production value. Maybe you do a half hour so it's not as
right
bulky of a podcast. Right. What do you got there?
Pizzeria Grandi
has... Is it time for a break?
Pretty good cookie.
No, but while we're talking about food, I want to thank our lunch buyer, Tony from Ireland. Is that correct? Yeah, Tony from Ireland.
I'll tell you,
we are huge in Ireland.
And they're incredibly generous overseas.
They are.
Can I tell you, we have a lot of our
you're
listeners.
You're nicer when you're drunk, too.
Well, that's a good point.
They're all drunk. The wallet comes out a little easier.
That's a good point. I am a very, very nice drunk.
That's what she said.
You're an a-hole here, and then you
Paul's a happy drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a happy
drunk. He loves everybody when he's drunk. Yeah. He starts, yeah.
I start
he'll
out.
Be the biggest a-hole, and he's like, hey, man, big hugs. And, yeah, I've seen it in action.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robert.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
So Tony writes in, and let me get to his email. Hope you enjoy lunch. We did. Patriots' first four picks. First off, please don't trade down Bill. I think we need to keep all four top picks, but feel we may end up trading at least one of the second-round picks. Anyway, if we keep all four, here's my preference. Defensive end or linebacker, first pick, then wide receiver, tight end, defensive tackle. From my limited knowledge of college football, I'd go with the following. Sergio Kindle or Brandon Graham.
Woo!
Golden Tate or Aurelius Ben. Jimmy Graham or Tony Maiocchi. Is that how you say his name?
I don't know.
And Brian Price or Lamar Houston. Of course, I would love to see us trade up for someone like C.J. Spiller, Eric Berry, or Jared Odrick, but can't see that happening anyway. It's just my opinion. On a more serious note, I'm less confident than you guys in the Patriots' ability to bounce back next year. Am I wrong to worry? Sure, we have 12 picks in a deep draft, but our draft record hasn't been great over the past few years, and I feel we have a lot more holes to fill than people realize. On defense, will finding a good pass rush really aid our secondary? I felt last season they were overexposed as we gave the opposing QB too much time. I'm hoping Chung and Butler have another big impact or have a big impact this year. I don't trust Merriweather. He's good, but not great, and my issue with him is he thinks he's great.
Mm.
On offense, we lacked a third option last year. It became too easy for teams to limit us. Cover Welker and Moss, and you really restrict our offense. I know that's not an easy task, but look at the options Manning and Breeze have. Was that just a confidence thing with Brady O'Brien that he goes to the proven guys? I hope so, because I felt the offense was very predictable last season and that things need to change. I'm worried about the offense more than the D, especially if we don't find a legitimate threat while we wait for West to return. Everyone seems to think we got Brady, so don't worry, but I think he needs new weapons and better play calling next season. Just can't see us winning the division with what we have right now. Before you say it, I know it's early and they have time to make corrections. Okay, rant over. I normally get my Pats info from Patriots.com, Boston Globe, or Boston Herald. Do you have any other suggestions for following the Pats online? No, that's it. I mean,
well, ESPN Boston.
Yeah, ESPN
Mike
Boston.
Mike Reese
I'm
does
sorry.
A good job.
You got
and
I would also say, I'd say over what? The Globe and Herald.
Real Patriots.
And just after Patriots.com, you want to go to ESPN Boston.
And I would also say PatsFans.com. They do a good job of collecting links to
right.
Tyrone McKenzie's local paper had a story about him right. or Brandon Tate.
Yeah.
They have a lot of good you skim that every couple
if
days.
If you go to
Patriots.com,
Real ESPNBoston.com, follow Real Patriots on Twitter, and go to Pats Fans. You won't miss a beat.
Right.
You'll learn about everything.
Yeah, anyway, Pats Fans is good also because you get a whole bunch of different opinions from fans.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you find out little tidbits. Andy's right about how great it is, all the links that they get in there from the little papers and stuff, because there's people all over.
Right.
But then all of a sudden you might see a whole different take on something that you never really thought of, and there's a lot of different mindsets in there with all the fans.
Anyway, thanks for the service you provide. I'm sure all overseas Pats fans would agree. Keep up the good work. P.S. My first email, I asked if you guys make weekly predictions for all NFL matches, and if so, what is your overall record? Also, how do you see the Pats finishing this year, 10-6? That's Tony.
Oh, I thought that was Fred.
I thought that was Fred, too, and I was stunned.
That was six more losses than I was anticipating.
We do make picks every week.
We do. I don't remember exactly. Yeah, we do them on Thursdays.
I won.
The records.
We have incredible records.
The records are always good. I don't remember exactly how good they were this year.
Really good. We're good.
Yeah.
We do a good job breaking it down, except Eric.
Both straight up and against the spread.
Right.
Although I had a bad year this year.
I won the spread this year.
Yeah. Paul won. I won last year.
Paul keeps track of the totals, too.
I won last year, both straight up and
against the spread. I didn't win the straight up.
I know.
You won the straight up.
I did?
Yeah.
I was just throwing that out there. I'm not sure I did.
No, did.
My early prediction for the Patriots? Early?
Early. Really early.
11-5.
My early prediction is 10-6.
That's very reasonable, 11-5.
Yep. I still want to know when we can evaluate last year's schedule.
So moving on, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
I do want to give a little programming note. Next week, next Thursday, enough time will have elapsed. We're going to do a recap of the 1999 draft, because I think Fred has now had enough time to properly assess that. So next Thursday, Fred Kirsch breaks down the 1999 draft.
I think it's time. I think we can evaluate now. That at this
I think
time.
That Falk pick was a solid pick.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, 508-543-7482. All right, so Lewis, we talked about Falk. Well, Eric will talk about Falk when he gets back from that interview.
Who's Lewis?
Damian.
Damian Lewis.
Oh, he just said Lewis. And I'm like, what?
Or as Eric called him the other day, Damion.
It does.
That's
like
the way
that.
You're supposed to pronounce it.
I know.
Oh,
but
it is?
I think he pronounces
according
it.
According to Eric.
I think he pronounces it Damian. I'm not positive right. on that, but I think it's
Eric will correct
it. It's just spelled differently, but I'm not sure on that.
Yeah. What
Do
other?
You know, there's an AP photographer that we use in our paper whose name is Eric Gay.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
I just find it funny. It's a fact. I'm allowed to talk about it.
What else have we got going on with the Patriots? A lot of stuff on Patriots.com. The draft is coming up.
We're posting our
2 weeks
draft
2 weeks away from the draft
prospect database. By position, inside and outside linebacker going up today with the comments from your draft experts, Andy Hart and Eric Scalavino. Paul may join in the fun at some point.
I can actually put comments up about linebackers because I did watch that one.
It's all coming to a head.
Yep.
It's all coming to a head. 2 weeks away. Latest Mayock Kuiper mock was out. Mayock has my guy Everson Griffin out of USC, and Kuiper has Sergio Kindle.
Well, speaking of that, over the weekend, Andy partook in a season ticket holder only event here at Gillette Stadium, where he was on stage with Mike Reese, Todd McShay, and Teddy Bruschi, and Michael Smith from ESPN moderated the whole thing, and it was an excellent event.
These things
you guys were really good. The guys from ESPN had some nice things to say about you, Andy.
He really is taking my place, by the way.
Yeah.
Did they have a paycheck, too? Or
he's doing the follow-up on NFL Network now, where he's going to be on Team Cam.
Yeah. Now, but Teddy Bruschi was really good.
Right.
I mean,
you just like that he liked Gerhardt.
Yeah, you do just like that he liked Gerhardt. You do like that Bruschi and McShay both like Gerhardt as a second-round pick.
Of course.
As soon as Bruschi said that, I walk right over to Fred, and I go, this is what we're going to hear on Tuesday's show. Teddy Bruschi agrees with me.
Well, little do you know, legitimately, one of the first things I said to Bruschi down in the green room, we were talking, and somehow he said he liked Gerhardt.
The big buffet.
There was a good buffet in there. And he goes, Gerhardt. And I go, as what? Just like that. And he's like, what do you mean? I go, you mean like as a Heath Evans, fullback, jack-of-all-trades guy? He goes, no, as an every-down back. And I went, what are you talking about? I just don't see it.
Yeah.
These guys, I mean, McShay supposedly knows his stuff, and they all seem to like him. Fred, maybe you're not so laughable.
Well, no, but you know what? You know
I
what
think you're laughable.
You know what kind of turned me, you know, watching the film.
Big thighs.
I watched that one game on TV, and he looked great. But then I watched more film. He doesn't have the NFL speed.
Doesn't have the NFL
speed.
That's
the moment.
And I don't
think
he runs to his size.
Well,
to me, he's not as a powerful runner. Like his shoulders are too high. I think NFL players are just going to take.
Yeah.
Can't say that word, right?
Take shots
with
at
rock
him?
Shots at him. I mean, I think he's going to get killed.
Yeah.
I think he is a huge hit me sign. Even Brandon Merriweather's going to hit him.
Well, yeah.
Unless he's on his team.
He might
hit him.
He might create too much of a target for himself. But
would hit him, but would he tackle him?
The other thing that kind of.
No.
Turned me not off from him, but lowered my.
Oh, you're off him now?
No. I said not off from him, but lowered my expectations from him a little bit. Was you mentioned Heath Evans? You know, and Heath Evans in college, you know,
wasn't as good as Gerhardt, but he was pretty good.
Very, very
good.
Productive.
He was a pretty good player.
And then he got to the NFL, and no way did he come.
Heath Evans was an early entry, second round pick, or maybe third.
I don't know how high he got drafted,
but he was a good athletic player.
Right.
To me, Gerhardt, you watch his film, he doesn't have enough speed in my mind, and I don't think he's big, powerful Jerome Bettis enough.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Did you notice that, though, when I said that? McShay goes, if we had more time, I'd debate you on this or something.
Well, you know, now there was a guy in the NFL who I don't think he was extremely fast, but he was just fundamentally sound.
He was the meow.
Larry Centers. You know, made himself a nice little career as
more pass-catching fullback.
Pass-catching fullback. Yeah.
Maybe that's what you want to draft Gerhardt for, that's fine.
Yeah, maybe Gerhardt could do that.
Oh, okay.
You know?
I thought we were saying this guy can be a legitimate starting running back in
National
Football.
Yeah, see, I've lowered that.
I don't think he can be.
Yeah. See, I think
that was my answer,
Fred. But if he's Larry Centers, that's great.
Yeah, great fifth-round pick. I don't want to pick him in the second round.
As I answered the question from the person in the crowd, if they draft a running back to me, it has to be a guy that you think his upside is what Lawrence Murray was supposed to be, a real, legitimate running back.
No, I agree with that. But I'm just
not another committee member. If Gerhardt's that, he's another committee member.
I'm simply talking about what is Gerhardt's future in the NFL. Forget about where he's drafted. Does he even have a future in the NFL?
Oh, I think he has an NFL future.
See, I think he has a future in the NFL. Yeah. I think he'll be around for it's like when we talk about Jonathan Dwyer. I don't think, I don't think Jonathan Dwyer is going to wash out of the league. Andy does. Andy doesn't think he can play. I think he'll be a solid guy, but unspectacular. I don't think he'll be a guy that we're talking about a couple years from now is one of the next great things. I don't think he has that in him. But I do think he will be part, as Andy put, part of a committee somewhere where he'll be, they have pretty good running backs, that so-and-so team. They have,
See, I think a guy like Dwyer
along
could
with
be as good
two,
as
three other guys.
Smith was in his early days.
Yeah, I don't.
I think he could be like that. I agree with you, Fred.
I think his upside is a 400-yard third back.
Okay.
No, but I don't think, I think if Antoine Smith was on the Patriots right now, and they split carries the way they do, that's what you would be. He was the guy.
Right.
Now, if he was
the guy here and in Buffalo, I mean,
no,
he was a multi-time 1,000-yard rusher.
Yes.
I don't think Jonathan Dwyer will sniff multi-times 1,000-yard rusher.
But it all depends, and I understand what your point is. If he doesn't ever get the chance, then he wasn't good enough to get the chance. But Lawrence Maroney, do you think he's not? Do you think he's better or worse than Lawrence Maroney?
I think he's similar, but won't get the opportunities.
Because Lawrence Maroney hasn't had 1,000 yards.
Right.
And he probably won't.
But I think they're different, a different skill set. But I think similar. I don't think a team will give Jonathan Dwyer as long as this team has given Lawrence Maroney. Because he's going to be a
third-round
pick.
Let's put it that way.
Those guys don't get 5 years and all these starts despite not producing, less than 4 yards a carry, fumbling, getting hurt all the time. If he does the Lawrence Maroney, then I will be right. He'll be washed out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com.
I do need to say, though,
yeah,
you know, I give Paul a hard time for being fraud, like when he first went on with Lou Maloney, and I was like, why don't you call him out and tell him you hated him and tell him he was a stupid blah, 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 blah. Fraud City Saturday, last Saturday here at Gillette Stadium for Andy Hart. Just from the second I got out of my car and Brewski was parking at the same time and said, hey, Andy, how are you? Fraud straight on through 8:05 when I got back in my car. Total fraud. Todd McEgo? Not Todd McEgo. He's a very nice man, Todd McShay. I was very impressed with him. Teddy Brewski was very good.
He is a natural.
Michael Smith went over and gave Andy a big hug.
Yeah, I mean, fraud city for Andy. I just got to say it. I'm a fraud.
What did you think of Teddy's comment at the end of the program?
Well, he kind of...
Sorry, I don't know if you covered this on Tuesday.
I wasn't here on Tuesday.
We did talk about it a little bit.
Actually, that comment will be on Patriots Today, I think. Matt No Sox said he really liked that comment. He's going to use it.
Well, which one? The positive or the negative?
Both.
Oh, because I thought he was going for the Mick Foley cheap pop at the end where he said, the door is not closed or whatever on the championship, blah, blah, blah. I thought he was going to, you know, leave everybody, woohoo, cheering.
Yeah.
And then he reeled him back in with, and I don't ever want to hear people say again that as long as you have Belichick and Brady, that's enough,
because
it isn't.
Basically what he said at the
end. Wow, that took a turn for the negative.
Someone had a fact or fiction sign to put fact up.
You know, what Brewski said was, you know, I don't want to hear, you know, all these people that say the dynasty's dead, there's absolutely very quickly this team can get right back there. So I'm sick and tired of hearing that. However.
You know why they can get back there quickly?
Why?
Because they have Belichick and Brady.
Right, right. However,
Teddy's going to fight you.
You know, those
Teddy was going to be listening, too. He told you.
Oh, by the way, he is going to be listening.
That's great.
He's going to be listening, so you better watch yourself over there, fraud boy.
The other thing he said.
I was a fraud.
The other thing he said, as quickly as they can get back, I don't like it when I hear people say, and I'm paraphrasing, that all, you know, because they have Brady and Belichick, that's why they're always going to be close. It takes a lot more guys and, you know, to do that. And I understand his point. Yeah, yeah. But
his point is 2009.
Right. But my point is the fact that they have the quarterback, which is a lot of teams would love to be solid in that position, and they have Belichick, who will bring in those other people. That's why they're close. You know, if you don't have the coach and quarterback, those other people don't matter as much.
No, I mean, I know what your point is, but, I mean, they had those two elements in place last year, and they were nowhere close.
So that's
what I think what Teddy's point is.
Yeah.
Nowhere close. They were still the number three seed.
No, I know,
right,
but
so
they were nowhere
were close.
I'm talking about where they want to be.
I know.
They were nowhere close to a Super Bowl contender.
Right. Without Brady or Belichick.
They're nowhere close to a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah,
I agree.
Even worse.
But that's what
I agree with you.
I think that's almost makes the point that the team was not good.
No.
And with Brady and Belichick, they were the number three seed.
Right. And that's but the point that Teddy's making is when you strip away the guys that were along with Brady and Belichick, you see how far you dropped.
Right.
You go from 14 and 2
strip away Brady and Belichick. I don't care how good your role players are, 22 through 50,
and
no one will be putting a number 3 seed on you.
Hey, no one, listen, how many times have I argued with Fred about that?
Which is why
when we talk about the system and
because they had Belichick, Brady, and some of the best role players in the game.
Yep.
Now you got to put it all back together.
All right. Good time to take a break. We'll be right back with a lot more, including your emails.
BFW in progress. These guys rock.
You're damn right they do.
Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game, but, 5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A., Bank of America, N.A., member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
Yes, didn't Rich Eisen, like, kind of knew what he was doing when he said, what did he say, fresh, hot?
I think, yes.
It's kind of dirty the way he said it.
Oh. Well, fresh hot. I mean, it has a connotation.
You think that was right? Christina was still working here, and maybe you thought that she was the host.
When I want my fresh hot cherry pie,
cherry pie,
go to Tiger Woods' house.
Unbelievable.
Oh, I miss her.
It's unbelievable. Wow, that was very awkward.
She was, you know.
That
can
was
you not
very
get
awkward.
Fired?
Can you? Yeah. Can you not? We just talked about how we need these jobs. Come on.
It's just nice to have. It's like, you know, a lot of offices.
Good for morale.
Every day they have fresh
stop
flowers.
Talking. Stop talking.
They have fresh flowers.
He's talking about it's nice to have women around because they look good in the
Listen
office.
To me.
You just turned the clock back 50 years.
They have fresh flowers delivered to the office every day. It's nice. It's a nice thing.
They have brain spread. They contribute to the organization.
But it's nice to walk around and see.
Good, Andy.
In all seriousness, what are you
nice
talking
things.
About?
It's, Where are you
it's,
going?
And see nice
stop.
Things. You know?
Hey, Lisa.
It's just nice.
You look pretty hot today.
You can't say these things. You are a department head.
Yeah?
Yes.
Why can't I say that?
Because it's inappropriate.
It has nothing to do with sexist. It has nothing to do with.
Why doesn't Eric look nice in the office?
Because he doesn't. But it has nothing.
But he wears those sweaters.
It has nothing to do with anyone's ability to do their job. It's just wow, that's nice to look at.
Will you stop?
Why can't I say that?
Because you can't.
You can think it, but you can't say
you know,
it.
The funny part is anytime one of these.
Funny part is he believes it. He thinks he can say it.
But this is my point, though. How many times, Andy, at least once every 2 months, a national scandal breaks out over something that most people think is pretty harmless. And then the whole PC police come out, and someone gets suspended for a week for saying something that's pretty innocent. Fred always sides with the PC side.
Right.
It's always. It doesn't matter if you're offended, Paul. Someone's offended.
Right.
And this is the guy who's talking like this. Right. He doesn't understand what's wrong
Christina
with
Christina Acker wouldn't be offended being compared to flowers being delivered to the office to look good.
I think that would be a compliment.
I think she wants to be treated like a
I
journalist.
Said, this has nothing to do with her ability to do her job or anyone else's.
But you're not even acknowledging that she has an ability to do any job. She's supposed to stand there and look good.
I'm not commenting
like flowers.
On that. I'm not commenting on
How
that.
How about Tiger?
You are.
Huh?
How about Tiger? Let's go down Scandal Road. Aaron Andrews now supposedly has a stalker death threat.
That was legit. You see that?
I'm not sure any of it's legit.
I want to see her riddled
with
bullets.
Yeah, I'm starting to think she does it.
Okay.
I'm starting to think she makes these up.
Wow.
Attention.
I can't argue with that.
Attention hound.
He just pulled a Perillo. We just
oh my
flat
God,
out dropped by in something.
I mean, we had doubts about the video from day one when she was, you know, bouncing up and down and looking at her
There's
own
There's something
ass
strange about the video.
And
I
now,
saw that video?
Her, what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw the video.
You never saw the video?
I got the whole thing if you need it.
First of all, we are sponsored by strippers.
Right.
So we saw the video.
VIPstrippers.com.
Okay? VIPstrippers.com for all your entertainment needs.
Why are so many people stalking Erin Andrews?
Well, I think that in this day and age, anyone in her, you know, ilk is being stalked by somebody.
But there a difference between stalking and saying, I can't wait to see you riddled with bullets or something? Or
you won't even see me
falling in my hail of bullets or something like that?
There's
a difference between them.
All you have to do is
now. I mean, listen.
Now, unlike
nowadays, I can't say Andy's wrong. He's just flat out not buying.
Nowadays, all you have to do is say you're for health care reform, and you get a death threat. So, I mean, you know, I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
you got death threats.
What's that? I'm not a public figure.
Well, I did notice that
you are. You're on the radio
now. I did take my cue from the leader, and you know, I know the Earth didn't end that day, and we're all still alive.
That's
thank goodness. I'm glad that he thinks it's a funny joke. Look at the funny man laugh.
Well, you know,
I'm glad that he thinks so little of us that he thinks it's funny.
Funny is all the idiocy that went on before that. But anyway, Eric's here.
Speaking of idiocy,
without a sweater.
Eric was not released yesterday, contrary to some publishers.
He's got his lunch in a bag, a large bag. It's quite
stupid foam windscreen that he's got to carry around.
You're rushing him now. He's not prepared.
I know.
And Eric, when he's not prepared, is not
prepared. I noticed he did have time to grab a cookie on the way by, though. So
there's always time for that.
He's starting to be one of us.
But we were talking about
the cookie.
We were talking about the scandals and stuff.
Though.
Hey, Freddie,
don't do as I do.
Oh, trust me.
Do as I say. No,
don't gain weight. You'll never be able to get the ladies.
When I was thin, I said I'd never gain weight either. So
I never said that.
When were you thin?
Shut the hell up.
You almost said it.
No, I was.
Because that picture when you're interviewing Governor Rowland in your office, that looks like it's 30 years old.
He was thinner.
You were chubby.
The only difference there was you had more hair,
not thin. Yeah, you weren't as fat as you are now. It didn't hang over the belt, but it pushed the belt out.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Okay. All right. We're getting off track. We're making fun of Fred now.
Well, I want to get back to the scandals thing.
It's good. It's good radio when we make fun of Eric.
Let's see. I got an email that I got to read.
Did you see the Tiki Barber scandal?
No, yeah. I didn't hear about
Sneaky
this.
Sneaky Tiki.
Yeah,
because Tiger's been
claiming
all the headlines.
All right, I heard there's something going on with Tiki. What is it?
Yeah, Andy and I were like joking about this, saying Tiki probably sent Tiger a little something. Hey, thanks, man.
Leaving the pregnant wife.
Leaving his pregnant wife, who's pregnant with his 8 months pregnant with his twins.
Right. Child 3 and 4.
Leaving her for an intern at NBC.
Oh, my God.
Who he's had a long relationship with, by the way, that evidently started when they were at the Broncos game last year. When she was in college.
Yeah, and he used to stay at her dorm room.
She's like 23 now. She's really young. And he got her the internship at NBC and all this stuff. Yeah, just really, really.
Oh, there's a picture? Because that's what I need to see. Yeah. Like, I make my determination upon this picture.
You know. Although,
Steve Phillips, you're an idiot. She was fat and ugly. If she's ridiculously hot.
So this is the guy that was just minutes ago chastising Fred for his Neanderthal thoughts. And now you're saying, well, she's a hot intern. Now you can understand it.
We're all animals. You get down to the core. We're all animals.
The thing about these men that, you know, they have these affairs and they go on for years and years. They're cowards. They're cowards. Once they realize that I can't stay faithful, end your marriage. Be a man and end your marriage. You know? Or stay faithful. One or the other.
Some of them they're selfish. They want it all.
Right.
They don't want the end of the marriage, but they want other stuff.
It all.
Right.
Because we all want it all. I mean, we'd all love to be banging hot chicks if we could.
Yeah, but not while I'm married.
Yeah, I know it's probably sounds.
I don't want that.
See, I'm
but if you could, you would.
No, see, I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't.
If it was accepted.
No. See, if I could, the only way I would.
I'm not saying
I'm
the whole
you, Fred.
Never find out because
I would know.
But
the only way I would is
in
some fantasy world. Yeah,
if it was just like you eat a calzone and you go home.
No.
If it was part of daily culture.
Then I would do it.
It would bother me. And that's the only way is if there was some fantasy world that it would be wiped out of my memory.
Right.
No,
that
but it doesn't need to be wiped out because it's not wrong in this fantasy world.
Right.
Well,
it's accepted.
Well, that's
while at work, you bang the secretary. It's just how you do it.
What? That's what they do.
Because they're there to look good, says Fred.
You know, so.
Like the flowers.
But no, I am of the mindset, look, you need to do that, do it. But just end your marriage.
Right.
Be a man.
Well,
step up.
He
end
is
your
ending
marriage.
His marriage.
You know,
a little late.
Yeah, but after 5 years and 8 month pregnant wife, that's ridiculous.
I agree. He's not a good guy. He never seemed like a good guy. I never thought he was a good guy.
Thought he was a terrific player, but never really thought much of him as a person.
You know, I don't want to get too far off Patriots, although we already are. But the Tiger Woods ad, have you seen it?
Yeah,
yes.
Terrible.
You thought
weird.
It was terrible.
I didn't see it.
Eric thinks it's weird.
I heard it, and it sounded totally bizarre to me.
You got to see it.
It's a little weird.
I didn't see
it. By all accounts, his dad was the same guy, cheated on his mother
right.
all the time.
Right, that's the irony there, for those who know.
Oh, his father's a terrible, was a terrible
and he's
person.
Supposed, and he's saying, did you learn from this?
Right.
Well, yeah, I learned from you. I learned it from watching you cheat on mom.
Right.
Just like that old drug commercial.
Right. So.
And I think it's a bad idea for Nike, too.
Love that spot.
You thought it was a bad idea?
I think Nike should be focusing on golf and nothing but golf.
Exactly.
I'm the greatest golfer in the world.
I have no problem with Nike sticking by him.
Did they
but
do this
make
for Kobe?
Focus golf.
But
did
you know that Nike will be criticized for sticking by him if they don't do something like this.
That's a good point. They didn't do one
did
of those
they do
for,
this
Kobe.
For Kobe.
They didn't do one of those for Kobe. That I can recall.
They stick to basketball. Kobe's a basketball player.
He's part of our company because he's great at basketball.
See, Kobe's was always a he said, she said thing.
No, he said it.
He admitted it.
He admitted it. He said it was consensual.
Right. Yeah, but he's
none of these women are claiming Tiger raped them.
He raped them.
Yeah, but what Tiger did was pathological. I mean, that
first
was
of all,
beyond,
but he didn't rape anybody.
But the only difference is
that there's really no difference.
I should say that
the
I
only
know.
Difference is it was one as opposed to 16 or whatever many
one that we know of
that 19 we know of.
As we're as,
yeah, that's
as,
another.
As
it was one
today.
We know of. There's no doubt in my mind. There's more.
But that's what I was getting to. Is the only difference is that's all we knew.
Yeah.
You don't think that Kobe's wife knows more than that? Of course she does.
Yeah. She doesn't seem like the type that would stick around if it was anybody.
Oh, the
type,
wife?
If the one who got the huge ring?
Kobe's wife, right after that $4 million ring, decided to stick around.
Right.
Coincidentally.
Well, if he were just average Joe working at 7-Eleven, he wouldn't be. She wouldn't be sticking around.
I don't know. Anyway,
Andy's
not
giving
worth
a thumbs down on Tiki Barber's
not
paramour.
Well, not worth cheating.
I'm not sure I like the ad or I don't like
Better
the ad,
color.
But one of the criticisms I heard from one of these media people was, oh, it's going to be confusing because people won't know it's his father talking. Are you kidding? With all the publicity it's getting right now, and Nike knows that, it's going to be talked about before anyone even sees it on TV.
Plus, people have heard Tiger speak.
By the
they can tell the difference between his voice and someone else's.
But whose voice is it? That's the point they were making. By the time this gets aired all over the place, people are going to know that's his father because it's getting all this buzz.
Right.
And Nike
Earl
knew
Jones.
That.
Question is it good buzz or bad buzz?
I love it how sometimes the media doesn't even know they're being played. When they're being played, you know? It's like they're doing more to promote this ad before it even gets on TV.
Right.
You know? It's just so stupid.
I just think Nike should have stayed away from it.
I don't see how they could and still be a sponsor of his or him, you know?
Why?
Because they'd be criticized for ignoring
so
what just happened.
So? Criticize me.
You might say so.
They're being criticized for sticking by him.
Right.
Now I'm going to criticize you for sticking by him and for putting out an ad that I don't think you should do.
No, but now – but I've heard some of the people say, well, it's good that Nike's face is addressing this head on.
But I don't think this is addressing it head on. The only way to really address it head on is have a commercial with him addressing it head on.
Yeah.
This is sort of image rehab. This is not the type of image that Nike has tried to portray over the years. I apologize to you, the consumer. If you want to do that, an infomercial.
That would be better than this.
Now you're pretending that his father should have taught him. He did teach him how to cheat on his mother.
The other thing that people are missing is this is probably just the first part of what Nike does.
I'm sure
there's a lot more to come.
The first step is the biggest.
Right.
And I think they misstepped.
The first step is they're acknowledging tacitly that something happened, and did he learn from it? So they're trying to make it out like he's on his road to recovery.
Well, maybe the second part is what did he learn? I don't know.
Maybe.
You know. Maybe.
It would be nice, though, if Tiger himself actually speaks in some of these ads and says something, but... You know, you're right, Fred. It's a progression. This isn't going to be the last ad deals with this.
It's just the wrong first one.
You know, but
probably should talk about Patriots.
I'm just getting the feeling with Tiger, he's not fixed.
Oh God, no.
Oh no, and I also get the feeling that
from the time
that he spoke the first time, which was about a month or so ago. Until now, when he originally addressed everybody with that,
someday I'll come back to golf. And the next day it was, I'll be back at the Masters.
It was a few weeks after that he came out and made the announcement. That
clearly, it was in his head at the time.
I'm not necessarily sure. I know he knew he was coming back to play golf, but what I think happened in the meantime is he came to the realization that there's no way Elon's staying by me. That's
been incredible for me.
I think he should have known that at the time.
I think that he still went. I think he just came out of rehab. And I think that he was thinking that, I'm rehabbing myself, and this is part of the steps, and I'm doing what I have to do, and maybe there's a chance.
I think he was.
Then he realized
there's all along.
There's no chance. No, I think he was too. But my point was, he would have said it right then had he known. Then I think he. I think his first step was, I have to see if I could do anything I can to try to get my family back. And if I show her that I'm putting her above golf, maybe there's a slim chance. When she realized, I don't care if you don't play golf ever again, I'm not going to be with you, then he said, well, hell, I might as well play golf.
I think it was all part of the show.
I don't think this has anything to do with rehab. I don't think he has any intentions of rehabbing himself.
Is she? I haven't heard the latest. Was she really pregnant? Is she really pregnant again? Have we not?
I haven't heard any legitimate.
Not that that makes really much difference in my mind, but I'm just curious.
All right. So let's get to some emails.
So what do we have with Kevin Falk, by the way?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, by the way.
Complete waste of time.
Oh, fuck.
As I predicted.
Eric.
He's so jaded.
What's the matter with you?
All right, the big news to come
His
out of Kevin
interview was dictated by you guys asking questions, and you're saying it was a waste of time.
You couldn't come up with any different questions than you asked them 2.5 weeks ago?
That's an indictment on you.
What'd you say, Paul?
Couldn't you come up with any questions that were different than the ones you asked them 2.5 weeks ago?
What's really changed since then?
Well, they had those three games. They played those three games in between.
Did they?
Yeah. The offense has been struggling since
right,
then.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
He reaffirmed his vows.
He renewed his vows in front of 250 people, which was about 100 less than he expected. Back in his hometown in Louisiana, you know, good for him. That's great. Has really nothing to do with football, obviously.
But we all are interested in Kevin Falk.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Wow.
Just so you know, I'm not interested in anyone reaffirming their vows.
Yeah,
I guess it's juxtaposition to the Tiger Woods thing.
I was just going to say, isn't it refreshing?
That also assumes that I think just because he said I renew my vows, he couldn't be banging some other woman 2 hours later in a hotel room.
If this were the first time we were talking to Kevin this offseason, I'd be more enthusiastic about it. But we just spoke to him basically a few days ago. And he's not really saying anything
different. Was that a shot at the 100 people that didn't show up?
That's what I thought that
like,
was
is he a little perturbed?
No. I'm just saying that I'm just trying to recap what he said.
Well, did he say
no, because
there were 250, which is 100 less than I expected?
No, he said about 250, and then somebody followed up with, wow, that's kind of a lot, even for a regular wedding. And he's like, actually, no, it was more like we were expecting like 350. So,
I think
no.
He's pissed at the people that didn't show up.
No, I don't think
Well, they were all at your thing over the weekend.
What thing?
The draft preview.
It was a good take.
Yeah.
He made a little comment about the McNabb trade because he came in the same draft class as McNabb, and they've sort of gotten to know each other over the years. And
this is really Kevin Falk and Donovan McNabb.
What did he say about it?
One's a winner, one's a loser. Not a whole lot, but it just they've become friends over the years, and it was just kind of bizarre.
Were you there, or are you getting this from Ian Rappaport?
Oh, for the love of God, Fred!
you're very hard on Eric.
What?
You're very hard on Eric.
He just said hard.
And then the other mildly interesting thing he said was when Tebow came here the other day.
Plow through, Eric. Seriousness will win in the end.
He didn't get a chance to meet him, and it would have been nice because Tebow broke his record for the touchdowns and all that, but it didn't happen. So, really, that was about it. We talked to Marcus Morrell.
Yeah.
Brother of Adrian.
Right.
Other than that, you got nothing?
Yeah, other than that, we got nothing.
How was Morrell?
Okay. It was kind of interesting that, there were obviously a few Jets-related questions about where he just came from and his former head coach and his brother used to play for them and all that. And his comments weren't really intended to be shots at the Jets, but I think they may be construed that way if you just read the text, because he was asked,
For a scathing story in the Boston Herald tomorrow, well, you can be sure of that.
I just kind of asked him a general question to start off, how it the change and coming from to a new team and how that transition's been. And he goes, it's real serious here. It's all about winning. And, and he's like, not that it's not about winning elsewhere, but, it's just a completely different atmosphere here. They're very serious about it. And then somebody asked him about Rex Ryan and, what it's like to play for, a guy like that. He didn't really have too many good things to say, about Rex Ryan being any sort of like player's coach or whatever.
Right.
And he was really excited about playing for Belichick and one of the greatest coaches of all time. And then actually being in the locker room, what it's been like with being on the other side of it. You were with the Jets and that rivalry, that side of it. Now you're here. Yep. And he's like, it's more of a team here. Well, there's more of a team atmosphere here.
Really?
And then he cautioned because he realized what he was saying. He's
How
like,
come
you
Fred
know,
Fred buys it's more of a team when they're talking about coming to the Patriots and mocks it when it's anyone leaving the Patriots
I'm
and
just,
going to another team.
Why is this?
Just wanted to add that in. Proceed, Eric.
No, that was the gist of it. It's always a team when you go to the place.
I'm not saying
I would also say, if I were Marcus Burrell, I would think that the Patriots are much more of a team since he was an exclusive right free agent who would have cost them nothing to keep, and they basically said, we don't want you.
I know,
even though it's costing us nothing to keep you,
yeah.
You can leave.
So the next time somebody leaves the Patriots and, you know, damns them, I hope that you tempered, see, that's blah, 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 blah.
First, we've always tempered it.
Yeah,
blah, 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 blah.
I never take, and you can't throw this back at me, I never take the whole they care about us over here nonsense.
Right.
They're,
it
we're
is
family.
Nonsense.
It's nonsense. Yeah. It's the same stuff that Lawyer and Ty were complaining about back in 1998.
Right.
When Parcells, you know, we look over on that sideline
right.
and they're having fun.
Right.
Yeah, because they're winning, you idiot.
Right.
I never take any of that stuff seriously. And whether it be Asante Samuel or Lawyer Malloy leaving in 03, all that stuff, that's just bitterness.
Yeah. Adam Vinatieri, I'm going to make a prediction right now. Adam Vinatieri will retire a Patriot. I'm telling you right now. He's
like
Otis
Smith did or
yes.
really retire?
At least like that. He
like
might
that.
Be a year.
I'm sure he will.
He will come back at least for a day and retire
Smart
a Patriot.
Smart business.
That's how bad feelings he has about the Patriots. So, fans, we get all excited about this stuff.
When has he said he had bad feelings about the Patriots?
People assume that when he left, he
when has he,
wanted,
he said he had bad feelings about the Patriots?
You guys said no matter what, he wasn't coming back here.
He wasn't, and he was upset.
So he was upset.
Yeah, right.
There's
but
no
question
I hear
he was
voice
upset.
It? Not
right.
once.
So what does that mean
not
that
once.
He decides to come back? Does that mean that means he wasn't really upset?
No, but I'm just saying
like,
that
Nomar Gashapara just did that.
That stuff goes
and he
away.
Was pissed off to no end
right.
about how he was treated when he left here.
He
so
was,
don't tell me he wasn't really mad.
Yeah. It's all business.
Time
it's
heals
all,
wounds.
Exactly.
It's only business.
No, it's 100% business, even when they retire.
Right.
But I think Adam will do it because the opportunities, the career, right. the legend right. is here.
Because it will be good for Adam to do it. And that's it.
It doesn't just happen at the Patriots. It doesn't just happen in the NFL.
But why do you say that people think
But
that?
Every time somebody leaves, you guys make it seem like this is the worst organization ever.
No.
God, you know, I hope they have
that's
a great life
true.
Because they were in such hell while they were here.
That's not true.
I'll
there
be
are
using
times,
that soon, though.
There are times.
I'm starting to see some writing on the wall with Logan Mankins that might have me
right,
going down that
course,
road.
See, exactly. No. This is exactly what I'm talking
no,
about.
No, see, but you mistake
the loyalty
personal,
Mankins has for this team and to not have it reciprocated.
Right, oh,
no, you,
how could they?
You mistake the personal stuff with the player stuff, the personnel stuff. I don't care about the personal shots and the treatment and all that crap. I think it's part of it, but. To me, it all comes down to: did they lose a guy that could help them or
right,
not?
Right.
Do they replace the guys that leave with better players?
Right.
More often than not, lately, that hasn't been the case. That's all I care about is the product.
All right.
I thought you were going to swear there. By the way,
webradio@patriots.com is the email.
I don't
address.
Care about the personal.
No, I wasn't. I didn't even come close on that one.
Brian from Aspen, Colorado. Paul, I know you aren't paid to be a mind reader, but I believe the question the poster wanted to ask. Regarding Tampa's second-round picks, would have involved their picks 35 and 42 for our 22. Tampa had
yeah,
two
that is what
picks.
The that is what the guy was asking.
Yeah. Mailbag, okay.
Yeah, and we had a reader that actually pointed this out. I think he just had a typo. He wrote, "Do you want to tip?" And I'm paraphrasing, but do you think that they would be interested in swapping second-round picks with Tampa Bay? And in parentheses, he wrote 35 and 44, and I. Didn't realize, first of all, that Tampa Bay had 2 second-round picks that close at 35 and 42. And I just assumed that he meant swapping second-round picks with the Patriots because the Patriots are at 44.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 35 and 44. And for the life of me, I couldn't really understand the trade because basically we were moving up 9 spots in the second round and giving them our first-round pick, which is very atypical of a Patriot fan trade proposal because the Patriots were getting screwed.
Mm.
So I didn't really understand the trade. I figured there was an element missing, and the emailer here is absolutely right, and someone else pointed it out to me, and that's why I posted an update on that question. Clearly, he was asking about the 2 second-round picks for Tampa Bay going to the Patriots
right.
in exchange, in which case, by the way, it goes true to form
greatly
to Patriots fans.
Patriots.
That greatly favors the Patriots. That would be a much more valuable trade for the Patriots.
Brian also says, you guys have seen Hoyer play as much as anyone since he was drafted. What are your opinions of his potential
which
long-term?
Ceiling is backup quarterback.
That's his ceiling.
Yeah.
But it's tough. I mean, we see him in blowout games in the regular season and a couple of preseason games, training camp practices.
It's hard to know.
I'm going to give
it's
you
hard to know, but did anybody think Tom Brady in his rookie year
had the potential that he's
right.
obviously fulfilled.
No, but if you, but no, yeah, that's a good point. But I definitely did in his training camp, not as good as he became, but his training camp the next year, his ceiling became starting quarterback.
Because sure, the following year
he was that good in 01 in the summer. Now, not to be what Tom Brady turned out to be. No one saw
but
that.
But a starting quality player.
I will up Andy's ceiling a little bit. I think if everything went well, and you're talking clear ceiling, Chad Pennington. I think he could be a real game manager type, smart guy, accurate, not a big arm.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he has the arm.
Just gets it there. Now, Chad Pennington became that after several injuries.
Right.
So,
like, I don't think Chad Pennington would have ever got the shot as the late career Chad Pennington without the early career.
No.
And the early career had an NFL arm. I don't think Brian Hoyer has an NFL arm.
And I want to make sure I make that.
It's a pick six waiting to happen.
I want to make that distinction. Chad Pennington came into the league as a first-round draft pick with a big arm who had several shoulder injuries.
Kind of like our little Maroney, Jonathan Dwyer thing.
Yeah,
and I don't think Hoyer's going to get the opportunities.
See, I don't know if he ever will either, but I'm talking – pure ceiling from what I've seen, the little I've seen of him at practice. I think he generally has a good grasp of the offense. Otherwise, Bill wouldn't have done that with him. And he clearly makes smart reads and does what he's supposed to do. He doesn't have a big arm. The ball just gets – he's very accurate, but the ball just gets there, even in practice.
I agree. I think he has everything but the arm.
Yeah.
I think you kind of have to have the arm.
But
just like Jamarcus Russell.
But Eric makes a good point.
But
Tom Brady did not have the arm his first training
camp. See, I don't remember his first training camp. I wasn't here, but –
everyone said he had to put on weight. He's scrawny.
No, I know, but you tell me he couldn't throw an out. He couldn't get the ball 15 yards downfield.
Oh yeah,
because I think Tom Brady always had a decent arm.
Yeah,
maybe it got better. I don't think Brian Hoyer has an NFL caliber arm.
No, I agree with you, Andy, and I also would agree with you in the fact that I think Tom Brady's overall skill set coming into the league was drastically undersold.
Oh God, sure.
I think he had a bigger arm than he was ever given credit for when he walked in here.
Fred, the other day I posted a little thing about Mark Bulger being released by the Rams.
Right.
Just speculating that maybe he would be a good fit as a veteran backup, third quarterback, either, you know, something like that.
Anywhere he'd be. Yeah.
For the Patriots.
Is he damaged goods?
Well, he has some injuries.
Aside from the fact that he's 5-32 in his last 3 years as a starter or something like that.
And he's also been, you know, not surrounded by the greatest talent either in St. Louis. But my point is almost every team in the NFL over the years has three legitimate quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Not always on the starting roster. Had a little Fred moment there. But I was surprised by how many responses I got from people saying, we don't need a third quarterback. We have Hoyer. We need to save that spot for somebody else, some bigger need on the roster. Have people forgotten that quarterbacks do get injured and there is a need for backup? I mean,
no, they're remembering him running for a first down in Houston. They saw all they needed to know. They wanted him.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you've only had two quarterbacks on the roster. It's ridiculously rare that a team goes through a season with two quarterbacks. And they did it last year, and they got away with it.
Right.
You know, if this had been the year before and they only had two quarterbacks, they would have been in trouble.
Usually you have
to. They actually did only have two quarterbacks the year before.
They had
Brady
one.
Got hurt, and then they signed another one back.
Gutierrez.
And then finished the rest of the year with two.
That's true.
See, I'm not big on the three quarterbacks because generally – there aren't enough backup quarterbacks that can play. There are no third quarterbacks that can play.
Plus, the bottom line is you lose Brady, you lose.
Right, and I stand by
I
that.
I know, Castle, blah.
I went 11-5, whatever. I stand by that. I agree with you. I don't think Hoyer's good enough to be a legitimate NFL backup yet. Now, he may be. And, you know, I know that's going to sound contradictory to what I just said about his ceiling. I don't think he's ready to be that Chad Pennington guy now. I don't think he's anywhere near that. I would feel a lot better if Chad Pennington, for example, were the backup.
Well, yeah.
But in order, the one backup. I don't need three guys.
Right. In order for Hoyer to reach that potential that you think he has, doesn't he need to be on a team where they're carrying three quarterbacks? Because if you get away with it for the next two years,
then that's, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he's Matt Castle in year four and ready to be a starter. You know, I mean, I don't know how long it would take him to be ready. Matter of fact, it's probably unfair of us to say right now that he's not ready because we haven't really seen him play enough. So maybe Bill knows. And I also would reiterate what Bill
January or whenever.
What Bill talked about a lot last year, they had three quarterbacks in the system all along. They always had one in the practice squad. Now they
never said that.
Kind of have two on the practice squad.
Well, they had a wide receiver/quarterback as the third guy.
But he was a quarterback on the practice squad until what, week 9 or 10 when they decided to change him. They brought in another quarterback for the practice squad for the stretch.
I know. I'm saying they got away with
Who's
one.
Who's still here.
Year. They got away with one. They were lucky.
Brian also says there
but
are
But I don't think they would be any better or worse if Mark Bulger was waiting in the wings.
I would just feel more comfortable.
Yeah, but that wouldn't make the team any better. It's a false sense of security.
Right.
Brad Johnson was there when Tony Romo got hurt.
It is an insurance
policy. And the season fell apart.
But you don't ever use it.
Then how come most teams do it then?
Because
most teams don't have Tom
Brady.
But if it's not that big a deal, why do most teams do it?
But it is a big deal to have a guy who is a B-minus level quarterback, or maybe you have a C-plus level backup.
I think a lot of the teams that have a lot of quarterbacks don't know who the number one is. Right?
Most
a lot of the time, if you have an established one, then you have one
backup. If Drew Brees goes down, the Saints are dead.
Yeah,
if Philip Rivers goes down, the Chargers are dead. If Peyton Manning goes down, the Colts are dead. If Tom Brady goes down, the Patriots are dead. And by dead, I mean they're no longer a Super Bowl contender.
But would you
any of those teams.
Would you still feel that their chances were better with a veteran like
Bulger
as opposed to a second-year guy like Hoyer?
No.
You think they'd have the exact same chances?
Yeah.
You know,
especially considering the fact that Hoyer now maybe you can make the argument last year before Hoyer was in the system.
You know, there are
but now Hoyer's got a whole year in the system. He's better than
there Bulger. Are cases right. in the history of the NFL when the starting quarterback, who was a pretty good quarterback, went down and the team still had success.
Of course there are.
You know, the Cowboys are one. Denver had another example. The Giants had an example.
The 72 Dolphins went undefeated with a backup quarterback playing a lot of the season.
You know, so there
you can't win handing the ball
but
off.
But most of the time,
game,
when that starting quarterback goes down, that's it.
Right.
You
know? Who are the Giants? And
Hostetler.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a little different, too.
And that was a lot later in the season.
Yeah.
I mean, they were 11-0 when Sims got hurt.
But they still won the Super Bowl.
I know. Yeah. They went 4-3 down the stretch with Hostetler. I mean,
no, it's good that they had a guy that was at least capable to get out.
But that's my point. Would they be better if they had an established backup then? No, they had a guy who never played, and they were fine.
But you're assuming
that's
Hoyer's
my point.
Not capable of running the offense.
No, I'm not assuming anything. I don't know. I'm just saying. I mean,
but Paul's point, if they're an 11-0 team and Hoyer can stay out of the way, hand the ball off, complete a couple.
Which is what Jeff Hostetler did. He had never played before that.
If the Patriots team around him is good enough, then maybe they'll be Matt Castle and be competing.
Right.
If it isn't, then Mark Bulger or Hoyer are not going to win.
And maybe they're taking a risk that they shouldn't be taking.
Like, I'm not saying they shouldn't have any backup quarterback.
But the fact that they have Hoyer,
well,
maybe they think that
Cowboys.
He could. Fill in and manage a game and win a game.
Yeah, maybe they do. I'm
just
saying.
Clearly they do, or they wouldn't have kept him around
exactly.
as the only guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
I just found it surprising that they went an entire year that way.
Yeah, my only point
with a rookie.
I think they did that because they could.
But what I want to say is my faith is not unwavering in, they think Hoyer's the backup. Well, you know what? They thought Rohan Davey was the backup, and he sucked.
And there was a year that he was the backup.
So and just because they think a guy's thankfully. The backup doesn't mean he's worthy of being the backup.
Yeah, Eric's,
and if he comes in, he'll be good enough.
Eric's logic is sound. I
but
understand
the same
what
thing
Eric's
would be said
is.
For Bulger.
I just,
if they brought
I honestly,
him in, he might suck if he has to come in.
And I've been pretty consistent with this because it's been going on now for 3 years since the Matt Castle situation really came to a head in 08 before Brady got hurt. I would not feel any better with Billy Volek or Brad Johnson or fill in the name of the next Charlie Batch schmuck veteran backup quarterback who proved he couldn't play at a starting level, and somehow that's a better option at backup quarterback.
Drew Bledsoe.
I'm not any more comfortable with those guys than I would be with a guy that Bill feels comfortable with in his system.
Right.
You know, Damon Heward, sure, I'd love to have him.
But I think Pennington,
you know, Pennington, 5 years ago.
Pennington's an exception because he's so smart that he could – he could not lose
I wouldn't
games.
Be opposed to bringing
he could
him
go
in.
Go out there and manage a game.
How do you know Hoyer's not smart?
No, I don't.
I wouldn't be opposed to bringing in
but
a guy like Chad Pennington.
But I'm saying as far as a high-profile backup.
Isn't he on the Dolphins? Didn't he resign with
the Dolphins? Yeah, he's staying in Miami. Yeah.
I just didn't know if I missed something.
No. He's not
matter
available.
Of fact, I think he's going to be the number three guy in Miami. But, a guy like that, I think you could bring in and he could be brought up to speed on the system. But most guys that I don't know as much about as I do Pennington, I'm not sure if they could do that.
Right.
And that wouldn't just make me feel better just based on resume. Because the guy has 28 starts in his career and went, 10-18. That wouldn't make me feel any better to have Billy Volek waiting in the wings.
Boy, I didn't know we'd get this much talk about Brian Hoyer.
I just want to say, this is why we're good. I mean, we're not even talking about the pass rusher. We're talking about the backup quarterback.
and we spent 20 minutes on it.
And click.
Did you? Did you float your trade?
Thanks
idea?
For coming back.
By the way,
I'm
trying to say that when we do talk football. For all those people that say we never talk football, when we got done with Tiger Woods, we talked about the backup quarterback.
Did you float your trade idea that you gave to me and Paul yesterday?
What, Haynesworth?
Yeah, we talked about
Haynesworth. About that,
I figured.
Yeah.
I just wanted to.
I finish up Brian's email. He says there are a number of players I'd be happy to see the Patriots take at 22. Graham would likely be gone as well. Kindle. If it came down to Odrick, Pouncey, or Kyle Wilson, who would you all take? I left out Gresham because I don't want to see them draft a tight end in the first round. My vote would be Pouncey. We can't expect 16 games out of Neal. Copen's upside has come and gone, and the $100 million man needs better protection.
Andy, what was your comment about Pouncey?
I don't understand why we're drafting backup offensive linemen when we need playmakers elsewhere.
I'd be very disappointed in drafting Pouncey.
I would.
According to Paul's guy, Mike Kliss out in Denver, that's Kliss. He could be gone at 11 or 12 to the Broncos?
12 to Denver, yeah. And he actually he did a lot of research on it. So it would be the highest drafted center in a lot, like 30 years.
Wow.
And I went back and looked, you know, Woody in 99, speaking of that, don't forget, next Thursday, Fred Kirsch will be breaking down the 1999 draft at length. Enough time has passed that we can now accurately
assess
that.
I can evaluate that now. It's been 10 years.
Fred's taking his year 11 jump as a talent evaluator.
They took Woody at 17 in 99. Now, that's about as high as I can remember a center going.
Especially a Brian center who couldn't snap.
Fred, but in this case, I mean, at least when they took Woody at 17, he was clearly going to be the starter. They had lost Wolobah the year before.
Yeah.
And they needed
backups.
A center. Now we're drafting a backup.
You don't even have a hole at guard because you re-signed Neal. If they hadn't signed Neal and you draft Pouncey as your immediate starting guard, and then maybe he moves to center in two years, you let Copen go, whatever. But he's backup.
I mean, even under the premise that you're not going to get 16 games out of Neal, which is not far-fetched. He hasn't played 16 games in a while. Really, you're drafting in the first round a guy that you want to play four games?
And even if you want to go offensive line, the two guys that when they play, Mankins always plays, he's your best. And everyone says that when Neal plays, he's just as good as Mankins. So two of your best guys, are you going to replace one of them?
The only way I would draft Pouncey is if I had plans to cut Copen.
Why are we cutting Copen?
Well, evidently he's got some kind of bonus due, some money coming. I don't know why you would cut Copen. I think he's a fine player. I don't know why you would get rid of him.
Brian's in Colorado.
They guys put everything they have on the line, and when they're about to get paid, you cut them? Or is that just here?
Fred, the fishermen are killing it out here right now. The Browns, like Andy, are hungry, mean, and showing their teeth. Oh, that.
What?
Fishing brown trout out in Colorado.
Oh.
Fly fishing.
Why is the trout brown?
And Paul, as
water. Is there a sewage treatment plant in that river?
No, they have brown trout, rainbow trout.
See, rainbow is colorful. Eric likes them.
Brown trout tend to be bigger, though, a lot of times.
Brown trout tend to be. It's because they're my poops.
Paul, as an alumni of Northeastern, I appreciate your fervor for all things Huskies. Rock on, Perry Moss.
Oh, nice. Perry Moss.
The hell's Perry Moss?
I don't know. Paul does, though.
Perry Moss, former Philadelphia 76er and Golden State Warrior.
And Husky, I'm assuming?
Oh, yeah. 36.
When you say Philadelphia 76er and Golden State Warrior, like 10-year career?
Mid to late. Nah, no.
Two-month career?
No, about 4 years total.
So he ranks in the top five ever
journeyman,
in Northeastern?
Journeyman. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he's tremendous.
Reggie Lewis and Juan Jose Barrera are 1 and 2, right?
He's better than Barrera. Better player than Barrera.
Anthony,
a better NBA career than Barrera, but
Barrea's
he was a
putting
better
together a little career.
Yeah,
here.
If Perry Moss had come out now,
somebody shoot me in the face.
If Perry Moss had come out now, he would have had a better NBA career than he did.
Jesus,
I would love to shoot you in the face. By the way,
Anthony in Boynton Beach, if both Sean Weatherspoon and Jared Odrick are on the board when the Patriots are on the clock at 22, who would you pick? Because both are excellent players.
Odrick, better fit.
Yeah. Odrick would be a fit. Weatherspoon is, I think, a 4-3.
By the way, I would take Odrick, and that was the last question, too. Three players, I'd take Odrick. It was Pouncey, Odrick, and Wilson.
I remember.
Our boy Kuiper has soured me on Wilson a little bit. Talking to him the other day and talking about how he, with some regularity, not all the time, but got beat by receivers.
The Boise State
in the
quarterback, whack. Right?
Those aren't exactly NFL receivers.
Wilson,
what's he
going
to do
State.
When he has to face NFL receivers? That kind of soured me on him just a little bit, just a little.
JT from Littleton says he's a first-time emailer, loves the show, makes the train ride in and out of work much more enjoyable. Which of these three possible draft outcomes do you like best for the Pats? Each has a strength and leaves a hole they still have to fill. But I view them as all real possibilities for the Pats. Would you take option 1, 2, or 3? No mixing and matching allowed. Option 1 is in this order.
You know Andy's going to go. I'm going to take 1 and 3.
Odrick, Tate, Darryl Washington, and then Brandon Spikes.
Ooh.
Option two, Sergio Kindle, Everson Griffin, Aurelius Ben, and then Tim Tebow.
Oh, jeez, no.
Option three, Maurkice Pouncey, Jerry Hughes, one. Javid Best, Rob Gronkowski.
One.
Oh, I like Gronkowski a lot.
One.
I'll take one. Kind of like Best, too, but
one is the best overall
one
package.
Yeah.
That 2-1 is terrible. That would be a horrendous. That would be. That might end Bill Belichick's career.
Go over that number 2-1 again. I know the last one
number
was Tebow.
Number 2 is Kindle, Everson Griffin, Aurelius Ben, who I like, and Tim Tebow.
Well, really, Tebow's the only one I don't like.
See, I think Ben is
I
a question mark.
Ben, yeah.
Not sold on him.
Ben's
and who was the second one?
Griffin.
Douche.
Ben's gonna be a good player.
Mr. 4-5.
That draft will never live up to any of the hype for any of the four.
Yeah.
That would end Bill Belichick's career.
So you're
too much upside.
He would never take
potential.
He the first one.
Yeah.
Was that Paul? Couldn't quite hear you. There was a lot of chatter.
I think Ben's going to be a good player. I do.
According to JT, option one clearly focuses on defense, our biggest problem, and gets us our second wide receiver we need, but ignores running back, tight end, and offensive line. Option two fills some of the keys and adds Bill's new poster boy, Tebow, as a long-term Brady backup with bust star potential, depending on how it plays out.
Yeah, I think that whole draft there is bust star potential, but I think leans toward bust.
And option three goes with the best available type of mentality while still filling our glaring outside linebacker tight end holes.
I'm on full bore, Gronkowski. I told you a couple weeks ago that
what
I was worried.
About the spine?
I don't know. Bruschi told me it's fine. And, you know, he's an unbiased Arizona alum, too. So, no, he talked to Stoops and said none of those people are worried about the spine, the issue that's kind of overrated a little.
I'm pretty impressed that he actually did that, Bruschi.
Well, for all I know, he talks to Stoops every week. I don't know.
Oh, well, that would be a little less impressive.
No, I guess,
you know, I meant in terms of draft preparation. Like, he knows he's going to be doing this stuff. And
he did show prep.
No, but I know.
Well, he is doing the entire draft in Bristol.
Yeah, so
he
has
to wall.
He has
one,
to prepare.
Two, and three.
Really? Yeah.
Now, he admits fully that if they ask him any questions, he's just going to say, why don't we let Todd take that one? And he's going to stick to NFL big picture needs kind of thing.
I like the fact that a lot of these guys, a lot of these experts are talking about the tight ends being incredibly deep.
Mm-hmm.
So they can fill that need but not have to worry about doing it in the first round.
He's turned into me.
Yeah, I agree with
you
that.
You said a deep tight end or something, and it moved.
I don't even understand how, like, the tight end class being incredibly deep. I don't like understand how that's
even
dirty.
He likes a big bubble, and a big bubble would have a deep tight end. Right. And
anyway.
What are you talking about?
I
know where he's going.
I don't even know what he's talking about. I'm looking
like
at
Pam.
Barber's
Pam
girlfriend.
Oliver probably has a deep tight end.
Oh, you guys, Fred doesn't even know where he's going. Please.
That's terrible.
Oh, I do. Along those lines, had to get up early the other morning for a doctor's appointment, and at 5 a.m. I click on the TV. Jimmy Johnson, a guy whose first name is Jimmy, which is a what?
Yeah.
And Johnson, which is a what?
Uh-huh.
Is now the official spokesman for, like, I think it's Enzyte male enhancement pill. I mean, this is a guy who used to be legitimate.
Wait a minute. Oh, okay. I was going to say, was it that Jimmy Johnson or the race car Jimmy Johnson?
No. Jimmy Johnson. The
Mr.
real
Hare.
Jimmy, Mr.
Yeah.
Hare, is like legitimately talking about,
how about that cowboy?
Right. Like, and it's all like double entendres about, you know, be strong, whatever. Like, does he need money? Is there something wrong there? Does he have an issue?
Maybe
let me tell you, those pharmaceutical companies.
Maybe they have a lot of money. This is not a pharmaceutical company.
No,
this is fine print at the bottom says, never has there been any proof that this thing works in really fine print. These are the guys that go to jail for long periods of time after these run. And he has sold himself to be the face, but of male and it's one thing for Bob Dole to do a legitimate one, a pharmaceutical grade, it works, Viagra. This guy's doing some internet-based knockoff. I mean, why? Didn't he used to be, like, Super Bowl-winning coach?
Could you see someday Bill Belichick retires and does one of those commercials? Fellas, don't be satisfied with it is what it is.
Yeah,
it can be bigger.
Right.
That's basically what this was 10 years down the road. And I was just stunned that he would lower himself to that. Plus, his name is Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah. Jimmy's a big euphemism?
Not as big as Johnson.
I never heard that.
You know, Johnson is bigger.
Usually accompanied
but
by
a Jimmy
the.
Is not as big as a Johnson.
Johnson is bigger.
Preceded
no
by
question.
The.
In Everett, when they talk about Jimmy, it's always stealing a car. You Jimmy the door open.
Well, that's a real thing. Yeah.
Hmm.
But, yeah, a Jimmy.
The.
Slipper the
a lot
Jimmy.
Of times.
I've never heard that.
I've never heard that. That must be a
You don't have the kind of street cred that Andy
right.
have.
I'm a man of the people. Why don't you get out on the streets and talk to the people?
Well, maybe, Fred, instead of you know, actually the walking around and greeting people at these events,
right.
we should just stay behind the velvet rope.
Right, like then Andy, we learn about Jimmy's.
Yeah, we would know about the Jimmy's.
I was out there at this event, but, you know, most people wanted to talk to Robert Kraft and Teddy Bruschi.
I thought Jimmy's, you put them on ice cream. I guess, you know, when you're Jimmy's
perverted. Oh, right? gross.
Jimmy's are on ice cream.
Yeah,
they are.
Jimmy's are on ice cream.
Sprinkles.
Right.
Jimmy's.
Yeah.
See, I generally think the Jimmies are the chocolate ones and the sprinkles are the colored ones.
I agree.
Okay.
I don't know why I have to bring race into it, but I agree.
Apparently now it's...
He does the old sniff.
Because that kind of bothers me. If you go to an ice cream place and you say, I want Jimmies, and they say colored or chocolate, I think, no, I say Jimmies. Those are chocolate. Kind of like when you order a Caesar salad and they say, what kind of dressing would you like with
that? And he starts talking fast at the place.
No,
Caesar!
You should have heard at the beginning of the show, we had a whole conversation with himself for a good, I don't know, 2.5
we
minutes.
We were just sitting there, when is this going to end?
Fred and I looked at each other and go, how long is this going?
What was he talking about?
Cookies! And food!
It was hysterical.
It happens. I have passion. What do you want me to tell you?
Alex from the North Shore
You're not
says,
passionate about anything.
Food.
Football.
Food, football, and family. I'm the perfect Bill Belichick guy.
Well, that's bull.
Alex says, happy, grumpy, dopey, and bashful. I don't know who's who, but
I'm
anyway.
I'm a happy drunk. I'm happy. We've established that I'm
happy.
Yeah,
but you're not drunk right now,
you're
so you're grumpy.
How do you know?
Andy's grumpy.
That's true.
I must be dopey or happy.
Dopey is dead on.
It's pretty clear who you are.
Andy and I guess,
and
go
Eric
back
would
and forth
be
happy and dopey.
Yeah, sure. Eric is bashful.
Right, okay. I'll take that.
Is it just me, or did you guys say nothing about Brandon Graham on the Prospect Review podcast on linebackers yesterday? Anyway,
we didn't talk about him very much, no.
I would be interested in hearing which player...
We'll get to him at the defensive end spot.
I would be interested in hearing what player you would take and why in the following head-to-head matchups if you had to draft only
these.
One, Sergio Kindle or Brandon Graham?
Sergio Kindle.
Kindle. Really?
Only because of the system.
Height?
Because of the system.
Size.
If they're
size
definitely
matters.
Switching to a 4-3 and they're doing
since
the
Jimmy Johnson.
Attacking defense, then I'd take Graham.
Yeah.
If they're staying with what they have, the 3-4,
really
2
huge.
Gap, I'll go with Kindle.
I like my
I'll
Jimmy
take
Long.
Kindle in both. I think he's versatile. I think Bill will maximize him. He's more of a stack and shed linebacker for Mel Kiper.
I've grown a lot more intrigued with Kindle since learning about his every down ability to play the run and do that
since
kind of
watching
stuff.
Tape.
No, not since then.
You did watch that tape.
I did watch that tape, yeah. But you can't really see that stuff on
Golden
and
Tape.
He's gone to that well one too many times already this show.
Golden Tate.
I will fill out the linebacker one.
It's true.
Golden Tate or Demaryius Thomas?
Tate.
Golden. You know, these are good because these are
that's
upside versus production
yeah,
questions.
They're really good ones.
Because Tate is production and Thomas is upside.
I actually think both of those guys are going to be very – I think they'd be excellent second-round picks. But
Tate? Looks like a first-rounder, though, doesn't he?
Most mocks have him not
in
the first round anymore. So he'd be available with one
I'll
of those
go
three
Tate.
Picks.
We need
if
the
I have
immediate
to flip
impact.
A coin,
I don't think Thomas is ready for an immediate impact.
That's a good argument.
Who will have
that
a
said, I'll be kicking myself when he's averaging 17-9.
I think Thomas can be a big-time home run hitter, but it's just not enough in that system to know.
I know
sure.
that. I know they're different positions, but who do you think will have a better career, Reggie Bush or Golden Tate, when it's all said and done?
Reggie Bush.
Really? Okay.
I think he's had a pretty good career. He just hasn't had number one, number two overall pick career.
Yeah.
All right.
He hasn't been like
Golden
a U.S.
Tate's going to be the 33rd player in the draft. If he catches 65 balls, people say, oh, that's good production for him.
He'd be a great pick.
So,
See, that's going to always
is Golden
be the
Tate going to catch 100 balls? Didn't Reggie Bush already catch 100 balls in the league?
That's always going to be the thing.
I mean,
with
if
Reggie
Golden
Bush.
Tate turns into Wes Welker. And becomes a perennial Pro Bowler, then I'm not
but
sure
I don't know how Paul's going to take that. If Golden Tate turns into loose change.
Right.
I would stick with Bush.
Paul likes a good Bush.
He likes to stick it, too.
Jason, how's that request for the magazines? I wanted to see.
What
you know,
request for the magazines?
Reggie's Bush.
Huh?
Oh, for God's what? Sakes.
I want to see Kim Kardashian naked.
Oh, that. Rocky.
Save that one.
Let's see.
I want to see.
Number three. Jason Pierre-Paul or Jared Odrick?
Jared
Odrick.
Wait, I got conflicting here.
Odrick.
Pierre-Paul for
Odrick.
Me.
Pierre-Paul for Paul. Ryan Matthews or Javid Best?
Ryan Matthews.
Yeah,
Matthews.
Probably.
And finally, Jermaine Gresham or Rob Gronkowski?
Gronkowski. Love him.
Gresham.
So this narrowing spine is not a problem?
I don't know.
Not according to Bruschi.
I mean, don't you think you should look
McShay
further
McShay kind of poo-pooed it, too.
Well, there was, listen.
There was a guy on the Chargers who has the same type of thing.
And it's not
he's
exactly
like a
spinal
stenosis.
Marcus McNeil.
It's different. And
isn't
it Marcus McNeil who said
it? Okay.
No, my point about taking Brewski's word is not because Teddy said it, but because Teddy talked to the guy's coach.
All right.
I know, far be it from a college coach to lie about his player. I understand that, but
they don't do that.
No, but I think that there was a legitimate issue there that Teddy, I don't think, would be as enthusiastic.
Right. He's obviously going to say that on TV. He wants to be right.
Teddy posed him as a potential for the 22nd pick. Didn't he?
Gronkowski?
During the show?
Gronkowski?
I forget. I might have been answering questions about who's paying for this.
Now, who asked those questions?
Never mind.
Last question.
Did he ever say, boy, Andy's really good? Did that ever enter into...
last question.
No, that slipped his mind.
Who's paying for him to be here? No one.
If the Patriots had the opportunity to move into any of the top 15 picks for a reasonable price, which pick would you want them to trade for, and which player would you want to trade with that pick?
I would want to trade for C.J. Spiller if he became available in, like, say, 15 to 19, if in that range.
Okay.
If he slipped and nobody took him and we're getting into the middle teens, I would say that might be worth it.
All right.
I love Spiller. I don't want to move up to get anybody.
I'm not really into moving up, but if you got good value, that was part of it, right? It's good value.
Yeah.
Well, Spiller, Eric's scenario, I agree. That's good value.
Well, if some crazy reason.
No. I think he's saying you don't have to give up the house to get the pick.
Yeah.
Reasonable price.
I wouldn't. I'm souring a little on Spiller.
I don't want. That
why is Sonny on Spiller?
I just don't know that he's gonna. I think he's gonna be Reggie Bushish.
Really?
That's tough to say.
Bushish. I think the hype ahead of him is pretty big.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he's gonna live up to it. And I don't know that he's gonna have what people can really point to as living up to it. You know, 1,500 yards, or I think he might get caught a little bit. Byproduct of his own college success will be the expectations and. Just
Eric, another show without the TVs on in here, by the way.
Yeah, what's going on?
Where's Megyn Kelly?
Paul needs his Fox fix.
Yep.
Let's see. Paul in London, what hours are you going to be on during the draft? Despite Roger Goodell ruining the timing of the draft for the rest of the non-American world, I'll still be awake and listening at 2 a.m. So we're going to
tell you, it's going to be a good show.
So
send in a few emails.
Thursday night, 9 to 11. Is that right?
Thursday from 9 to 11, Friday from 8 to 10. Is that right, or is it?
6 to 8, I thought.
6 to 8?
Right.
Hasn't this already gone out in print?
7 to 9.
7 to 9, I don't know.
It has gone out in print. I just forget.
I know. Saturday's 4 to 6?
It's 2 to 4.
2 to 4?
On Saturday.
So now that we've thoroughly confused you.
It's definitely 9 to 11 on Thursday. It's definitely 2 to 4 on Saturday. I can't remember Friday.
I think it's already on the website, isn't it?
Yeah, it's somewhere.
Yeah, no, we put it out. Yeah.
Chris Ferrero, do you have that anywhere? Paul also says, I'll ask you the same questions that I emailed B-Lo during the draft show yesterday and see how you answer them. By the way, the draft show with B-Lo is really doing well.
Quite forgettable.
Six emails this week.
And you know what? We laughed. I got some stats that Toyota put together the other day. We laughed at the shop talk. Some of the shows, they had 1,000 listeners. I mean, I'm shocked.
Oh, my God, that is funny.
That's right, right?
Well, that's why I'm laughing.
Yeah. So we laugh, but,
yeah, but
I don't know why they weren't
emailing. Six of them were you on your computer, your desktop, your iPhone, everything you could possibly log in on.
Your iPad.
Okay, so that's 994.
Your MaxiPad.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so here's...
Not sure. He might not have been listening to send the emails.
Here's the question that
he never listens
was posed to B-Lo that he wants us to answer. Number one, Sergio Kindle, Jared Odrick, Golden Tate, Marquise Pouncey, all are available at 22. Who do you select?
Kindle.
Kindle, Odrick, Tate, or Pouncey?
Kindle.
I mean, you could take Kindle. I mean
the interesting thing about Odrick is it feels like a right defense fan, and I mean the Pouncey.
All right, and if Kindle. Damian Williams, the wide receiver out of USC, is available at 44, do you take him?
Sure.
Yeah, that's...
Good pick.
Well, is Gronkowski also available?
I think he body catches too many balls.
Good pick in the second round.
You can think that.
Yeah.
I would take that. I would take Tate first.
Hey, girl.
And if he's still available, then I would take him.
And number three, do the Pats get a third rounder from somewhere? How do you see them doing
Yes.
it?
Yes. Trading.
They're going to get some type of
trading. Good, Andy.
Trading a second rounder to move down.
Oh, there you go.
Why don't
I said, hey, girl.
Don't you think they should make compensatory picks tradable?
No. Yes.
What? Why? Why not?
I don't see it.
I don't know, but the team doesn't get it either. It's an archaic rule, I've heard.
I mean, just, you know.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why they're
make it more interesting. And finally, what round will the Patriots select a punter?
The seventh.
Sixth.
Thanks for the draft coverage so far, and I look forward to buying you lunch
on
either the 20th or 22nd, depending how Brian fixes it.
20th, not the 22nd. We don't need it that day.
Yeah, we get fed during the – or maybe we won't now. I don't know.
Why not now? We won't have dinner?
Well, it's just one round. Will they feed
us? I think we're getting fed on Friday and Saturday.
Not Thursday?
Not Thursday.
Well, then we indeed will enjoy your food on Thursday.
Yes. Because it doesn't start till 7:30, correct?
Right.
Paul will have to bring in a Papagino sub.
What, you won't?
Or D'Angelo's.
You'll have to go get it for me.
Are they still around, D'Angelo's? Mm-hmm. We don't go there anymore, do we?
Yes, they're still around.
No, I mean here, in that plaza down the street.
Hercules. Hercules.
We should get North End Deli to deliver, which they don't. But
This next email
could
enough, be a flaw.
If we plug them enough, maybe they will.
This next email is Millie in Montreal. It's a little harsh on Eric. Do you mind, you know? He's critical of your behavior in the show on Tuesday.
All right.
He says, after hearing last Tuesday's show, I'm reminded of a quote by Lisa Simpson. It is better to stay silent and leave doubt about your idiocy than open your mouth and confirm it. And I'm talking about Eric.
Wow.
The man is an effing moron without an original thought to his name. Poor Paul was drowning in cliches and regurgitated ideas, whether on football and politics or on just about anything else. Eric is a know-nothing, pompous ignoramus. Let's face facts, Eric. You're failing at that, too. Wow.
And he's signed Indian Foxborough.
Yes, right.
Wait, I think as a know-nothing, pompous ignoramus, he's pretty successful.
He's not failing at that.
Anyway, I'm sure you're not going to read this, Fred, since it will make Eric sulk in his corner, or maybe you should so that he'll shut the F up, or maybe I'll get a takes one to no one comment. How original. What did you do to upset Millie?
I don't know, but obviously Millie didn't cite any specifics, so he's the one who is throwing rocks from a glass house. To continue with the cliche thing.
I guess. What happened, Paul? I mean,
listen, I told you, doing the solo show is hard.
Yeah. Eric's just
He just cut ties with you so fast.
He really did.
At least when you and I are tied together like the combine, you are one of me.
In all seriousness.
You're my brother. Mm-hmm. We fight no Marine left behind,
Eric,
when you're with me.
That's true.
See what you get from Fat Boy over
there?
Right.
I go to the break room to get him sodas and help him with that stuff. I hold the door for him. What does he do?
You extend a branch and he burns it.
Right.
I said to you already, Andy, in all seriousness, the show was
terrible.
No, it was fine. We lacked the entertainment value because that's what you two buffoons provide.
And didn't we say that as a disclaimer to open
the
show?
Yes, we apologize in advance. There won't be any unbelievable tangents on soap.
We won't talk about Reggie's Bush or Jimmy's Johnson.
Right. We were missing the comedic value of the show.
No nut wizards.
People with big heads.
Speaking of Reggie's Bush, did you talk about watching the Ten Commandments?
Oh, yeah. A terrible movie. I didn't watch the whole thing, but that is
the Cecil B. DeMille one?
Yeah.
Well, back then it was good entertainment.
No, don't give me that crap. Why could you not act 50 years ago?
Cecil.
Acting's been around for hundreds
of years. Nobody could.
But why? It had been around. Shakespeare had plays.
I like Edward
We don't
G.
know if they
Edward
were that
G.
good, though.
Edward
like,
G.
The productions were that good.
What about your God now, Moses? Yeah.
And God is a fiery
He's like talking
bush.
Like a gangster.
Right.
That's what he did.
Right. The whole thing is terrible.
What about your God now, Moses? It's like, this is Egypt, and he's talking like he's
Dirty
like
monks,
Brooklyn.
See? I bow down to the Egyptians, now they bow down to me. See?
Moses' shepherd girl is hot, though.
Oh, yeah, you like that?
Who was that?
I don't know. I don't remember her name.
I thought the Egyptians.
And I had them all!
Yeah.
I had them all over the world!
Right.
And I told Eric, who knew a redhead was God?
Yeah, they did the burning bush scene, and he turns
fire
to his
bush.
Wife. He turns to his wife and said, "Who knew God was a redhead?" And she said, "You're going to hell for that one."
But it's terrible. And then when we left, it was like 10 o'clock at night, and she'd been watching for a long time. This was Saturday after I got home from the event.
Yeah,
and I click on guide, and it wasn't even like halfway through. It goes on. It ended at like midnight.
I think it was
something.
A 3-hour movie, and then they put the commercials.
Yeah,
in there
it's like it's
else.
Almost a 4-hour TV presentation.
Yeah. Five and some
or five hour, whatever.
It's,
I mean,
it's ridiculous. Yeah.
But
it's bad. It's great, though. That's what makes it funny.
Yul Brynner with the kids dead, and he's like, oh.
Yul Brynner's hilarious.
Yeah. Paul, what else did I take from it?
They stole
Gladiator completely stolen from the Ten Commandments. The king is dying. His daughter loves him. He loves his daughter. But the son who's going to take over, he hates and is terrible. And the girl, the daughter, is in love with a king who's been kicked out into slavery and is fighting elsewhere.
Right.
It's the exact same story.
Right.
which I try to tell Andy that all the things that come about nowadays are all just remakes and ripoffs.
That's right.
Is there no creativity in this world?
Yeah. No, it's a good point. It's a good point. Let's see.
Looking good.
Michael writes in, "Hey, Fred, Paul, Andy, and Abe." Why Abe?
We can't say.
Yeah, we can't say.
Oh, the History Channel knows.
Oh, I get it. My question has.
Well, you don't, because you think there's no chance in hell that Abe Lincoln
wasn't.
You know for sure. You're willing to put it on the line. Yes. Honest Abe was straight
was
and narrow.
Yeah.
He was there.
My question has to do with the vacant spot the Patriots have at defensive end. I know you have said that Jared Odrick is a possibility, but assuming we don't take him, who are the some guys that later in the draft the Pats would target to fill that hole? I don't feel good going into the season with just Mike Wright, Ron Brace, and Myron Pryor, who to me are not every down players. Also, I have a question concerning the 2011 Raiders pick. Let's say the Raiders were able to acquire another first-round pick from another team. Could they send that newly acquired pick to us to consummate the trade, or is it the pick that the Raiders were assigned that they would have to have traded? Finally,
it's already been traded.
Yeah.
It's
the Raiders' pick. Whatever position the Raiders get.
We can trade that now.
Right.
It's our property.
Right.
Right.
Finally, I would like to know, what Patriot is your all-time favorite? Mine is Troy Brown.
Do you really have to ask me?
Paul's is the big stiff.
Paul's is living in Montana now,
making coffee and wine.
All-time favorite.
I'd say it's probably between Tippett and Grogan.
I'd probably go, if you're going to make me choose second best, I'd say maybe Stanley Morgan.
Stanley Morgan?
This is tough.
Okay.
James Sanders or James Sanders?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
No, I would say Tippett is mine.
Really?
Tippett would definitely be a top 10.
But heavily swayed by the relationship we have with him now.
We know him.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
But he's like James Sanders. Good guy, good player.
Great
player.
To the Hall of Famer.
What is wrong with you?
You win a lot of football games if you had a lot of James Sanders.
Oh,
even
God.
Bill, any coach would like 11 James Sanders.
Yeah, I'd like 11
Week
Pro
later,
Football Hall of Famers,
benched
too.
Him. I don't know what he was doing, but now that he brought him back later.
I would have to say my favorite was John Hanna.
But how about you need to name the favorite from every team you loved over the years? I mean, it goes through the Broncos and the Mets and the Nets and the Jets.
Oh, my favorite player in football was John Elway.
John Elway is one of my favorites.
John still got the
jersey.
I
used to hate him.
I hated
him when he was a player. Yeah, I hated that.
But I mean, he was a great player. And I loved watching him play.
I grew to respect
his
game. The older I got, the more I got to respect him. I would take.
Well, they all are.
Tippett's not. That's why he's my favorite.
Best quarterback, I think.
What do you think? Do you think people around the world somewhere think Tippett's a douche?
No, I'm thinking if you knew John Elway like you knew Tippett, you probably wouldn't think he was a douche.
But isn't Elway one of those adulterers?
And I used to love Larry Zonka.
Didn't he shoot his way
out of
Indy?
He's got a lot of card dealerships.
He shot his way out of Indy. He pulled Eli Manning.
Great steakhouse.
It was Baltimore at the time.
Crap. It was Baltimore. He threatened to play baseball.
I got no like for him.
Sam,
that doesn't even make sense. I got no like for him.
Didn't Bo Jackson do the same thing? Kind of.
No, he just stayed away.
Sam from Brighton, I'm
got a new career. He got a new career.
It's unbelievable
Brad's
how he
mad.
Looks
he
at
wants
the map.
To read his email.
You know what? It's unbelievable how he looks at the map.
Yep.
Sam from Brighton, map? I'm going to give you a trade, and you tell me if you would make it if you were the Patriots. Number one, Patriots get the Ravens' 25th overall pick and the Ravens' third round pick for the Patriots' 22nd. So we get the Ravens' 25th.
Move down three spots and get a third?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I suppose I would.
I would do it.
I would.
The second one is Patriots get the Giants' 15th overall for the Patriots' 2 second-round picks.
How sucky is this team?
For two of their second-round
I wouldn't
picks.
Do that one.
Well, for who, though?
But in all seriousness, how sucky is this team? You added 4 second-round picks last year, and you have 4 in the top 53 this year. So theoretically, you have 8 that you're hoping you get starters out of the top 2 rounds of the draft, right?
Yep.
I mean, do we need to add a third-round pick because we really need 11 young players to throw on the field?
Right.
How many do we need? Are there not enough good players?
I think it's just for maneuverability. They like to have picks in every round.
Well, if Kendall's there at 22 and not at 25 and it costs me Kendall and he's the perfect fit, then I don't want to do it. I want the guy that's the perfect fit when I can get him.
By the way, hasn't Tiger teed off?
He's teeing off right about now.
He's walking out of the green.
He's getting
right
a standing ovation from Fraud City. You frauds.
Just to finish up this email. Patriots get a 5th-round pick for Matt Light. Would you take it?
Round pick?
No.
Third rounder, I'll take.
Fifth rounder for Nick Kazier, I'll take.
How about a second round pick for Ty Warren?
Hell no.
What are we going to the
well,
one?
Well, we don't have any D linemen really.
I think that that would be value for Ty Warren, but
I wouldn't.
I think they need the player.
Yeah,
they do.
They need the
and a fourth round.
But that's the difference between Matt Light. Matt Light, they ostensibly don't need the player
because
they could plug in Vollmer. Who do they plug in for Warren? If you're already looking for a guy to play the other side,
Albert Haynesworth.
And finally, a fourth round pick for James Sanders. I think we all said, yeah. Easily.
You gotta be kidding me. That's ridiculous.
We couldn't get a fourth rounder for him. Oh. I got news for you.
Pretty much any team could have had him last year, and they didn't want him.
Let's see. Aaron from Sterling, Virginia.
Shank it.
I had this explained to me when I moved out of England. Ice Cream Jimmies are the brown sprinkles because the name is derived from Jim Crow. Jimmies in the Mid-Atlantic area refer to condoms.
Needless to say,
I got some strange looks at ice cream stores when I first moved down here.
Wait, wasn't for anything he said.
Wait a minute, I'm being racist.
Jimmies go on the Johnson.
Well, that's okay. Either way, it's funny then.
So Jimmy, Jimmy Johnson has protection.
You need a bigger Jimmy for Johnson if you use Enzyte.
Right.
I guess.
Anyway, did you guys catch
Wait a minute. Let's get back to so is Jimmy's a racist term?
I guess so. Jim Crow, yeah.
That's
what they call him around here.
Well, I mean, that's not exactly
Anyway, did you guys catch the Mike Reese article about Tyson Alualu? What do you guys think of him, and is there a chance we could get him in the second round?
I've heard him posed. I didn't care for his tape. I'm not really intrigued by him at all.
Are you done with that tape yet, by the way? Because that's the only copy we have. Bilo took the other one.
I don't know. Ooh, why'd he tape his fingers? Where those fingers been?
Oh.
He's probably been...
Spanking it?
No, he's probably been hitting so many golf balls, he's ripped his skin off.
Or maybe because he no longer has 19 whores to do nonstop, he actually has to do like the rest of the married world and beat his meat.
Oh, for now, you know... My God.
That's what those of us who are good, faithful husbands do if we're not getting enough.
My goodness.
Right?
I sense frustration, Andy.
Yeah. Not really.
Yeah.
Just saying, that's how you stay out of that. When you have the urge, take care of business. Why are they clapping those frauds? He's a despicable human being. Did we clap for John Rocker when he came back? No. Bad people you don't clap for.
I think just people want to see him win.
Right, because people are frauds. It's like Manny when he had that bouncer up the middle after he...
It could have happened to any of us, Andy.
No, it couldn't have. You just said you wouldn't do it.
No.
Shank it. Shank it.
Bang.
Oh, I hope he shanked it.
He doesn't look upset. And here's the down the middle. And he's on the fairway. I don't know how long it was, but he's in good shape.
That's what she said.
He's in good shape. All right.
You know how long it was. Not long enough.
Tiger has teed off. Okay.
And all those frauds clapped. Sports fans are the biggest frauds on the planet, bar none, except me.
I think that we just love seeing people get destroyed, and we love redemption as well.
They're frauds.
That's right.
Fred's right, though. We love to build them up, break them down, and then try to build them back up again.
Right. It's a sign of power that we have as a fan base. That's the power that we have.
What happened to the drive, just out of curiosity?
It's in the fairway.
Right down the regular.
Look like it down the middle. I don't know.
Let's see. John from Ithaca says, one quick comment about the scandals you guys were discussing, and then a serious question. I think we should face the fact that we all face temptations. I mean, Fred, if it wasn't an endless string of women like Tiger faced, but an endless tray of fried dough, would you be able to resist? Actually, I haven't eaten fried dough in a long time.
But if there
were
good...
That's because they haven't presented it.
No, I don't ask for it.
I know, because I don't like it.
Because it wasn't good. Had it been good, you would have eaten all you could get.
That's true.
It's like when we went back to Papagino's last week, I made sure I got those cinnamon sticks because those were good.
I saw Paul's comment in Ask PFW about the coaching staff, and he said that Bill O'Brien and Matt Patricia would take on the coordinator responsibilities.
Matt Patricia, this is breaking news for me.
Let's
talk about it, Paul.
Perillo, I said there will be people serving in those capacities, and I would assume on offense it would be Bill O'Brien, on defense it would be Matt Patricia, but that is by no means is that official.
Right.
I didn't say they were the coordinators.
That's not how it sounded based on that email.
That's why I just wanted to clarify that.
I don't have a problem with either of them as coaches, but don't you guys think a big problem last season was play calling? I'm not arguing about the going forward on fourth down plays, but the overall play calling, especially offensively, led to some head-scratching moments, didn't it? Do you think this means we need to see Belichick bring on some help in the coaching staff? Are there any prospects that you think – could work out, or are things really fine as they are?
So I don't feel like play calling was a problem. I think I stand pretty much alone on that. I think that people have mistook
the lack of options on offense with a lack of creativity by the play caller.
Or the carousel of play callers that actually had the job last year?
Another question.
If you're that comfortable at play caller, why do you need to change it around every other game?
But the only issue I have...
I didn't have an issue with play calling last year.
I don't know who this gets back to, and I'm hesitant to really criticize it, but I think the predictability came in personnel groupings. I thought at times they had a running package, and they would run a group of Sam Aiken and Lawrence Maroney on the field and run the ball.
I agree.
And then they'd run their passing offense on the field. But I think that a lot of that had to do with personnel.
But that's how I feel about it. Andy summed it up better than I did.
But I just wonder if maybe they could have maximized their limitations a little bit more. And I think by no fault of his own, he was a first-year guy calling the plays. Bill O'Brien will get better, just like Josh McDaniels and Charlie Weiss got better.
I read something today about Chris Baker.
The touchdown maker?
Someone said that, and I forget where, it might have been on Pats fans, said we all know that Baker basically retired after training camp.
Was that the
word that he just didn't have any effort last year?
I never heard that.
Because I hadn't heard that either.
No. This is a little tattletale email. Josh writes, and during yesterday's draft prospect review, Eric, while talking about one of the players, said, I like his spunk. I was amazed that Andy didn't make a joke about this. I laughed so hard, Coke went up my nose.
That's funny, because on the draft database thing today, I wrote, smells the sack and gets it.
Oh, that's not good.
I usually go with the comes hard off the edge.
Wow.
It is what it is. There's a lot of, I mean, it's like Bill. Bill, the receivers had a lot of.
Oh. As an
he's
FYI, says David.
He's in there watching golf with a stupid look on his face.
Watching the Masters, sorry.
You're an idiot.
Dave in West Virginia says that Moses' wife was the same actress who played Lily Munster on The Munsters.
Oh,
was
it Yvonne really?
DiCarlo? Yeah, Yvonne DiCarlo.
I never would have guessed.
The Munsters, but I liked her as the wife.
Wow.
And Chris Ferreira says that the PFW radio schedule for the draft is listed in the draft section on the Patriots.com radio landing page and in the draft news release from PR that we posted in the news. So,
or if you want to give the accurate times,
telling
they're in your Google chat.
We're a bunch
chat.
Of idiots for not knowing that.
No,
they're
no.
in your Google chat if you'd like to give the accurate time.
Right, which would have also helped from Chris Ferreira.
Right, he tells you where it's available.
Where we can
just
find
it, what
instead
it
of just saying what the Friday time was, because we knew the Thursday and Saturday.
9 to 11 on
you,
Thursday.
With anger, you said, what the f-? And you said Friday, and I thought you were going to yell at him again and swear.
9 to 11
Listen,
on...
Listen, that was a one-time thing.
It was a two-time thing.
Ferreira
whatever.
Sucks. Merry Christmas. 9 to 11 on Thursday, 6 to 8 on Friday, and 2 to
oh,
4
there it is right now on
Saturday.
ESPN. Tiger, I hope you've
oh, this is
from
the
this.
Commercial?
Yeah.
So...
God, I hate him. Despicable human
what
being.
What time on Saturday, Fred?
2 to 4
2 to 4
2 to 4
2 to 4
Giggles.
I really did forget. That's my mind. I don't know what's wrong with me.
And yet, as I pointed out last week, everybody wants your opinion on everything and your advice on how to run everything.
Exactly.
That's a very learned
big
man.
Tent on this circus.
Zach from Syracuse.
Syracuse.
Here's a game for you guys. Tell me if they make the opening day roster for 2010, taking into consideration cuts and trades. Matthew Slater.
No.
No.
In or out?
Out. Can
Eric,
I do mine? Is this mine or is this Bills?
I think this is Bills, too. With okay. 12 picks, there's a good chance they get a decent special teamer.
Right. Out.
Eric Alexander, in or out?
Out. I've been saying that for like 4 years.
Yeah, Matt Light, in or out?
In.
Nick Kazier, in or out?
In.
Derek Burgess, in or out? If out. He gets re-signed, right?
Well, he's out right now. So
already be out.
Yeah, out.
Out. Despite playing the position better than anyone else.
David Patton, in or out?
Out.
Out.
Isaiah Standback, in or out?
Out.
I'm gonna say in.
I'm gonna say in too. I think they like his versatility.
Out.
Terrence Wheatley, in or out?
Out.
In.
Sean Springs, in or out?
In.
Lawrence Maroney, in or out?
In.
In.
But I reserve the right to change my opinion on that one.
And the law firm, in or out?
In.
Yeah. The running backs change dramatically depending on what they do in 2 weeks.
But most of the other ones, I'm okay with my opinion.
They draft Ryan Matthews in the second round. Maroney, see ya.
Out faster than you could.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Right.
But all those other ones, I'm comfortable making the opinion now. You really think Terrence Wheatley's going to be on the roster?
That's another one, though. Yeah. You know, draft Joe Hayden in the first round, see ya. You know, I mean, I
think there's a chance they draft no one and he's gone.
Well, listen, is there a chance? Yeah, I think that he'll be here. I think they might need just the body. He generally has stuck with some of those young guys longer than you think that they would.
It's a high-pressure front.
Let's see. Rexy says, I should start by saying hello, good morning from Manila.
This is Rexy?
Yeah, Rexy.
Ryan?
Do we have a pin in Manila?
It's been
Where
a while.
Is Manila, Africa?
Philippines.
Yeah, Philippines.
What? He went to Tufts.
The thriller in Manila was in the Philippines?
Yes.
Do you know Dave in the Philippines?
Yeah. It's been a while since I listened live, but I've been listening to the podcast every week. Actually, I replay the podcast 2 to 3 times a day because you guys really make me laugh, except for the last 2 Tuesdays. Too much activity.
Not a funny show Tuesday.
What was the Tuesday before that?
I don't know.
I think I was out the last two Tuesdays. I wasn't here the last 2 Tuesdays.
Was that just me and you?
No, I think the 3 of us.
Oh,
you
came down late.
Yeah, right? Eric came down to drag us down.
Yeah. And we made you do the. We made you host. Yeah, when Fred's not here, the comic value is gone.
Is it really?
Oh yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
It's the unintended.
I think when any of us isn't here, we lose our chemistry.
I agree.
Too much activity this off season. I like the re-signing of our guys in Damian Lewis and Algie Crumpler. I would like to ask one question. Please give me your opinion on the Jets targeting Jason Taylor. I believe he said bad things about the team, the coach, the fans, and the stadium, Fireman Ed, and even their J-E-T-S chant. I think he did, right?
Well, I don't know about his team. He was very critical of the Meadowlands, the fans, the all that. I don't know about
He's
team.
Been very outspoken in his hatred for the Jets, but I think Andy's right. Most of that has to do with non-team specific things. But we all know, even if he is talking about the team, it doesn't matter. Right. If they offer him money and they want him, they'll sign.
Look, when I was a kid, I remember Brad Park, when he was with the Rangers, came out with a book and just blasted Bruins and their fans as Bush League. And like 2 years later, he was traded to the Bruins and everyone loved him. You know,
right. If he's wearing your uniform, you like him.
Yeah.
Remember you scored that overtime goal in Game 7 against Buffalo?
No, I don't.
What was that? Fred, please shoot me in the face.
I did read the book, though.
I knew Fred was going to say that when I said that.
Marty in Belfast, Northern Ireland.
We're big over
Groundswell.
There.
Not a bad show from Paul and Eric on Tuesday. A little bit more dull than normal, but still worth a listen.
More dull
than
normal?
That we're normally dull?
Right, yeah, that's what he said.
I took offense
it's
at the latter
part. Backhanded compliment there.
Why don't you go eat a potato?
Albert Haynesworth seems an interesting topic. While a great guy in the 4-3, and if the Patriots switch to the 4-3 system, it all sounds good. Are you not worried about that attitude? I'm not. On the draft issue, I really have a feeling Bill will like to draft Tebow in that second round. I know you guys aren't big on him that early, and I would tend to agree. Don't worry, though. I think someone else will take a gamble on him sooner. Oh. I do like Kendall or Brandon Graham with our first pick, if possible. A lot of mocks seem to have Odrick down as a pick for us. If Dez Bryant is available at 22, do we look at him?
No.
No.
Problem child. No. Stay away.
Don't back down.
I'm not backing down.
You were going to say yes definitively.
I'm saying yes.
Listen, I'm 1,000% with Fred on Dez Bryant's ability.
Yeah.
Scares the crap out of me for a first round pick.
But I was reading somewhere, I think it might have been Rappaport, where someone was saying that Percy Harvin coming out and one other guy who's doing pretty well had much more issues coming out of college than Dez Bryant.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that's accurate.
I don't think that's accurate either. Wasn't Percy Harvin's only, didn't he have like a marijuana?
Marijuana.
That was it.
And injuries and like physical stuff. Right. He didn't know if he could hold up.
I don't know.
I think Dez Bryant,
and
if Dez Bryant didn't have the suspension,
Deion Sanders,
there would be no discussion about him being a first round pick.
Yeah.
He's incredibly talented.
But even beyond that, the issues with the pro day and moving the pro day and the
cleats and the not cleats
and
the
this. A lot of issues. He's a diva.
Right.
And he's hanging around a diva.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's the same reason I was scared of Michael Crabtree.
I scared the crap out of
him. Now, Crabtree's going to prove me wrong.
But you get him in here, you say, Deion, see you later. He's ours now. Goodbye.
Yeah. I don't think so.
You know.
Who are you to tell?
That's just a switch, you flick.
Well, who are you to tell a guy who we can associate himself with business-wise?
I'm sorry. Have you not been watching the Patriots for the last 10 years? Bill Belichick. That's who.
That's exactly right.
But just a switch, just flicks.
With regard to the question about video shows, I like the 2-hour radio show that you would do currently. I wouldn't think you need to do more than that.
No.
You could do a monthly behind-the-scenes show for video, so to speak, showing a little what you guys have done to prepare for the show, etc.
Uh-oh.
Maybe we should do a reality show that follows around the office all day.
What was that now? Prepare for the show?
Yeah. Prep.
We prepare for the show. This is how it goes. Let me give a little behind the scenes. About 25 or so.
Careful.
Of 12.
X-Name.
Fred comes down and sits down here by himself.
No, I prepare.
No. Go back further, Paul. At about 9:30, quarter of 10, we get an email from Doc or Tomash saying, here's who provided lunch today.
Actually, this is like one of those movies. Go back 5 minutes earlier. We don't get the email, so Andy sends an email, WTF ?
Right. Or just ? And Doc replies with his own at the same time.
Go back a little earlier.
?
Mr. and Mrs. Hart, one
night.
This
is like Memento.
Drank too much and, you know.
Dad said he should have been a wall shot. And he wasn't.
That is such a vile, vile saying. But anyway, Fred comes down here about 25 of 12, sits by himself for 20 minutes, and then Andy, Eric, and I
stroll in,
hoping that the food is already here. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not.
I go on the internet.
That's our show prep.
What's going on?
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. What do you think I'm doing down here?
Googling yourself.
Yeah.
I always thought that meant the other thing.
Let's see. Jason from Wisconsin. Thanks for reading my email on the last show. Since I last wrote you guys, the Pats have had quite a few private workouts with a lot of D linemen. Do you think the Bills being more involved with the defense means that he has a new scheme that he wants to run in 2010? I think that finding guys to fit the 3-4 has gotten harder since more and more teams are going to the 3-4. I also think that he may not have run this experimental defense last year because he didn't have the horses to run with it. And one more item. Let's say that Jimmy Clausen falls and is still on the board at 22. Do you pass on him, draft and trade him, or is he your quarterback for the future?
No. I don't want to draft a backup quarterback, just like I don't want to draft a backup center.
You field trade offers.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, but you don't draft them. I wouldn't anyway.
Guy Al Woods.
Unless you're legitimately entertaining the idea of allowing Tom Brady to play this year without a contract extension.
Well, Fred is trying to run him out of town.
And in which case, you draft Clausen, that ups the pressure to sign him.
I wouldn't want to be...
Wait a second! Nano also... Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
Nano writes in... I would like to see Bilo's face when he reads the emails I send him. After Rick Rolling Bilo last week in the draft room, this week I sent him an email that contained an entire block of lyrics from Journey's "Don't Stop Believing." The Journey email, which can be heard at the 34-minute mark of the April 7th draft room, isn't as slick as the Rick Rolling email from last week, as I had to break the lyrics up to fit them in the email. But unlike last week, two-thirds of the way through, Bilo realizes what is happening and then claims that he would have caught on earlier if he wasn't so busy trying to move the show along. Even after realizing what was happening, Bilo finished reading my email, so either he's a good sport or he is desperate for show content.
Both. Now, is it true that he and McShay were crossing signals? Is that right? You said they were talking over each other quite a bit?
I wasn't there.
Oh, well, who was there? You just came in and said they were talking over each other.
We just could assume.
Now, can I talk about Al Woods?
Go ahead.
Okay. Al Woods, who I fell in love with watching tape as a late-round prospect, 6'4", 309, Paul. What does that sound like?
Sounds like a 3-4 end.
I think that's what he can be. He's a guy that along the way at LSU supposedly had hype. Everybody thought he was going to be a developing prospect. And he never did. And now he's like a late-round talent. I saw today the Patriots held a private workout or will hold a private workout with him. That's what I'm looking for in that DN spot. Damian, what's his name, Lewis?
Lewis.
You say Damion, I assume.
I don't know how he pronounces it.
And Al
Woods. Should he pronounce it?
I want to fill it that way. I don't want Jared Odrick.
Yeah,
I want
to tell him how to pronounce it.
Pronounce it Damian and spell it like Damian.
But I was a big fan of his. Everything about him looks, he didn't live up to it in college. That's why he's a late-round prospect. I mean, beggars can't be choosers late in the draft, but. Physically and what I saw in the field.
That would be the draft version of the free agent theory that we talked about at the beginning of the show with Damian Lewis.
Right. Which, again, I'm okay with at that spot. Unless we trade Warren, which we also talked about in the middle of the show. Then I'm worried because we don't have any defensive line.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. Before we go, a lot of emails asking when the NFL schedule is going to come out.
Maybe next week.
Maybe Tuesday.
13th is the rumor day because of TV Guy has
maybe
a show
Tuesday. Maybe Tuesday.
Slotted, but maybe not.
Yeah, because doesn't NFL Network have a show now?
They did last year.
Well, this is also different this year, though, because keep in mind, over the years, they've always had the primetime games, but now they're tweaking everything so you can end with division games, because that'll fix all the tanking it problems. This is a totally different offseason, thanks to your boy Goodell, and Lord only knows when the schedule
Yet
will
another
come.
Example of the commissioner trying to fix things that aren't broken.
That's Eric Scalavino, Patriots.com.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of
Finally
PFW
said
in
something.
Progress. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes,
And I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.